Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, it white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And we are back on live interest on the radio on this Friday, February 24, 2012, and thank you all for joining us here live, of course, on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the radio here every weekday from 7 to 10 p.m. The number is 347-308-8701. You know, I just realized within that second, I talk incredibly fast, and I normally don't. I usually keep it pretty slow. Anyway, it's Friday. It's the end of the week. The weekend's coming. There's a lot of stuff going on this weekend. I think the biggest is, of course, the Oscars. I feel bad because the last couple of Oscar years, I hadn't really watched any of the movies that were on the list. I think, if I remember closely, there was probably only one film that's been nominated in any category that I actually saw, and maybe two. And the one movie that I did watch, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing whether or not they win, is the movie Bridesmaids. And the nomination is for Best Supporting Actress. Melissa McCarthy is going to be the young lady who is going to be nominated. Hopefully she'll win. But that was the only movie that I could think of. I didn't watch any of the films this year. So I'm not going to say I'm I guess in some ways I am. I guess I have to admit, I am disenchanted by movies as of late. Probably because most of the movies that I want to see now are popcorn films. I don't catch myself watching dramas. I don't catch myself watching thrillers or anything like that. I don't watch horror flicks. I've never been a horror flick fan. So the movies that I have seen, that I've actually taken time to go out and see, are movies that really have to drag me out to the theater. And I don't care much for the prices. If it's $10, if it's $12, if it's $15 a film, I don't care about that. I believe that the price should go up. But in order to get my money, you've got to give me, you know, the bang for my buck. I mean, I've got to go out there and I've got to see a spectacle film. Now, 2012 promises to be full of them this summer. I'm going to see the new Spider-Man film, The Amazing Spider-Man. I will see that. I'm very intrigued by this adaptation of a Spider-Man. I thought the last couple of Spider-Man films were kind of lackluster. Spider-Man 2 is okay. Spider-Man 3 was a little lackluster. I remember exactly where I was and when I saw that. I took the entire crew out in New Jersey to go watch that one. I think that was in 2007. I'm almost certain it was 2007, that summer. A lot of my friends came out to my house, and we all went down to the movie theater in New Jersey, just off the river. You could see Manhattan in the skyline just over the river. I remember seeing that. So I will go see the new Spider-Man film. I'm very excited to see the Avengers film with, of course, those cast of characters from Captain America, Iron Man, Thor. I don't even remember who Samuel L. Jackson is playing anymore. I mean, the eye patch guy, whatever it is, I'll go see that. I'm really excited about that. So my point was that the Oscar Awards this year, I don't care much for the films, the actors, whoever's it. I am not excited this year about who's being nominated. Just that one, Melissa McCarthy being nominated for Best Supporting Actress. And, of course, because it's in a comedy. And I'm a big comedy fan. Probably more so than I am the thrillers and the dramas. But there's been some controversy. And I think, and I like this guy for the way that he's responding to the controversy. And that is the actor Sacha Baron Cohen, who's very famous for the Borat films. Borat and Bruno. And, of course, he's been in Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell. And I think he's hilarious. He's very, very funny. And for people who have been checking out the controversy, the Academy Awards do not want Sacha Baron Cohen to show up to the Academy Awards in his new film, The Dictator, garb, adorned with all of these jewels and looking like a fundamentalist dictator in an Arab land. And it's supposed to be a comedy, you know, whatever. And he's trying to keep his country from being being given a democracy. But anyway, he was told that he couldn't go up there and they didn't want any publicity stunts because they were worried about offending Muslims and offending Arab nations if he showed up in that garb. So they pretty much told him that he couldn't come unless, you know, he was going to show up. Now, again, I like Sacha Baron Cohen because how did he respond? Well, in his dictator garb, he sent out a video where he threatened the Academy of Arts and Sciences. And this is what he said.
Good morning, great Satan of America. How are you? I am fine, thank you. On behalf of the nation of Wadia, I am outraged at being banned from the Oscars by the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Zionists. While I applaud the Academy for taking away my right to free speech, I warn you that if you do not lift your sanctions and give me my tickets back by 12 p.m. on Sunday, you will face unimaginable consequences. Furthermore, it is an act of aggression that no Wadian films have been recognized by the Academy. Where are the nominations for such classic films as When Harry Kidnapped Sally, You've Got Mail Bomb, or Planet of the Rapes? On top of all of this, I paid Hilary Swank $2 million to be my date, and she will not refund a penny. My Sunday calendar is now as empty as a North Korean grocery store. But whatever happens, I still plan to attend director Brett Ratner's after party, since it's impossible to catch herpes twice. Death to the West! Death to America! And good luck, Billy Crystals. You're fantastic. How was that? Did I sound crazy enough?
I thought, you know, what a way to stick it to the man. And that's why I love Sacha Baron Cohen. I mean, if you pay attention to the stuff that he does, you get it. You get it because it's done with humor. That, you know, don't take yourselves so seriously. And again, this is, you know, the Academy's way. So they, of course, do not want him to show up in this character where he's going to be doing things like that. And if you remember the Borat films, one of my favorite press junkets that he did was with Matt Lauer on the Today Show. Sacha Baron Cohen shows up as Borat, and he makes this great gesture when Matt Lauer asked him, Borat, whether or not he was married. And Borat responds, no, my wife is dead. High five. And I thought it was brilliant. Because people don't. And all of these stuffed shirts, they're sitting in there embarrassed by laughing at a fictional character. Like the person he plays doesn't even exist. But they don't even know how to respond. Which is brilliant. On Borat's part, or by Sacha Baron Cohen's part, that he can get these people outside of their comfort zone, which for me is classic. Now, JC, are you interested in watching the Academy Awards? Because you're into this entertainment stuff more than I am.
Yes, I am.
So, is there something in particular you're looking forward to, or you just want to see who wins? Like, you probably want to
see... I want to see who wins, and I mean, I got my ponies in there.
Well, okay, you probably have those two black girls.
You know what? You got a lot of nerve, buddy.
Right. You're probably rooting for those two black girls, Olivia something and...
Octavia Spencer.
Octavia Spencer, that whatever her name is. You're probably rooting for them. I don't know who Octavia Spencer is. I don't know a film she's been in other than The Help.
Viola Davis.
Viola Davis, that's the other Negro girl. And she's in The Help. But they
you
are
wash your mouth out with soap, mister.
They are Negroes. What's her name? Viola Davis? She's like a pretty Whoopi Goldberg.
That's an oxymoron.
If Whoopi Goldberg had looks, she'd look like she'd look like Olivia, whatever her name is.
She was cute in Ghost.
She was who was cute in Ghost?
Whoopi.
Whoopi was cute in Ghost. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Whatever. Yeah. But Viola Davis. No, I mean she's. You know, they always make her look like this Mammy.
Mammy, you took the words out of my mouth.
Always make her look like Mammy. Now, I know she, I don't blame her for taking this role in The Help where she plays a maid. You know, because a lot of people criticized for that. And I think it was unfair because I hear that this is a very good book. And I hear it's a lighthearted, very good movie.
It's an awesome movie.
It is. Have you seen it?
A couple times.
Okay, so you enjoyed this film.
I set up the projector for company every time they come over.
Okay, all right. Now, I know the background of this movie. In essence, it's The Help is pretty much the protagonist in this, and it's in the South, and
Mississippi.
It's in Mississippi, and this white girl, who
in the 50s.
This white girl wants to write this book, but from the perspective of the maids, and the book is written, and all of these characters, their names are changed, and the book goes out, and they hear things about themselves, and this is an uprising story about how the maids, become empowered, and okay, I get it. It's a perfect movie for Hollywood to nominate. And of course, they're going to nominate, Best Actress to this Viola Davis. And Octavia Spencer.
Oh, she was hilarious in the movie.
I'm sure she was. She was very. I know. That's the reason why. But see, this is what the actress Angela Bassett was beefing about back in the day when Halle Berry was nominated for Best Actress for Monsters Ball, saying that the only way that a woman could get nominated for an Oscar, she's got to play Mammy. Now, I've not seen. And, look at Whoopi Goldberg's character. Whoopi Goldberg's character was a shifty, fake, what do you call
charlatan.
It? Charlatan. Charlatan. Yeah, she was a charlatan. A fake, a psychic. I mean, there is, does Angela Davis prove to be right? I mean, okay, so Ray, Jamie Foxx won for Ray. You can't say that Ray was a bootlegging... what do you call it? Bootlegger or what do you call it? A pappy character. I mean, Ray Charles was an important figure in musical history. You can't.
I just saw that movie for the first time about 2 weeks ago.
You saw Ray for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, he did an he did an excellent job. He did an inspiring job. Of Ray Charles. I thought it was probably the best. He literally played that role better than I could have imagined anybody to play it. It was perfect.
Better than Ray could have played it.
Yes, it was. It was perfectly cast. He really embodied Ray Charles in that film. Now, you can't say that about Forest Whitaker, what Angela Davis.
And it really wasn't a stretch for him to play that role because, being a comedian and doing impressions, all he had to do was do an impression through the whole film.
That's all he had to do. And I said Angela Davis. I meant Angela Bassett. Angela Bassett.
Yeah.
Can't say that about Forest Whitaker because, of course, he plays Idi Amin. And, although a
not
bad,
too far a stretch.
But, why would you say that? Why would you say Forest Whitaker was not a far stretch?
He played the mean, heartless character in Jason's lyric as well.
Yes, he did. But, if you look at Forest Whitaker and Idi Amin, Idi Amin didn't look anything like Forrest Whitaker. I mean, Idi Amin. He was a.
He actually looked like Esther Roll.
Who looked like Esther Roll?
Idi Amin. Yeah, mean.
Yeah. Wow. Damn. Idi Amin. Esther Roll from Good Time? That's just,
damn.
That's just vicious. Well, nonetheless, he didn't look anything like this. So Angela Bassett can't say that about him. She can't say it about Louis Gossett Jr. He played a drill sergeant.
What happened? Did she get not bumped it at the Oscars years ago?
Well, you know what it was. Look, how did this woman not win for her role as Tina Turner in What's Love Got to Do with It? I mean, even Lawrence Fishburne, for that matter, was slighted. You know, the role he played, I mean, he's a lot lighter than Ike Turner, but he didn't even get an Oscar role, and that was, I mean, Lawrence Fishburne will always be remembered for that role. It's iconic. What's Love Got to Do with It?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right,
but, you know, I look at it like this. I look at it like this. It just wasn't their year. It was the wrong timing for the film.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I look at Angela Bassett and I say, you know.
And personally, I like Angela better in The Green Lantern.
Angela Bassett's in The Green Lantern?
Did you not see it?
No, I did not.
Well, we'll take a look.
I will definitely take a look now. That being
she
said.
She gets smacked against the glass. She plays a hockey player without being a hockey player real well.
Wow. Angela Bassett, ever since she came out and she was outraged and she boycotted the Oscars the year that Halle Berry and Denzel Washington won, Angela Bassett has been shunned by Hollywood. I mean, she's been reduced to Tyler Perry films.
Pretty much.
I've not seen her in anything that I could say. I mean, how in the hell does Angela Bassett end up in the Biggie movie? Notorious.
Puffy is a hard on for
her. I wouldn't say that. What other woman could have played that role? I don't know what. You'd have to get an unknown.
Whoopi.
Yeah, well, that's true. Whoopi could have played her.
I mean, not as a diss, but she kind of looks like Miss Wallace.
I'd have gone there, absolutely. And now you're saying that I said that Whoopi Goldberg was never cute, and you just said she looked like Biggie's mom. Now that's sad, my friend.
Movies gotta love them.
That is completely sad. Now, what did you think of this whole Sacha Baron Cohen thing? You heard the audio. That was pretty funny.
I don't like him. I don't like his movies.
What is it you don't like about him?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. Even the cheap ripoffs of him, I couldn't. Adam Sandler. What is the movie he did?
You haven't seen one of his films?
Not even one.
You've got to see Borat.
I haven't seen Borat. I haven't seen what's the other one with the where he's a model.
Oh, Bruno.
Or runway model or some crap.
Yeah,
no, I didn't catch any of that. I don't dig
Bruno.
His kind of humor.
Okay, I'll admit it's a little over the top. I think his humor is supposed to be over the top though.
Yeah.
That's what makes him entertaining. You know, some of it is stuff that you can't really watch. I watch it and I go, ugh. You know, it's like, I don't know if I can watch that. You know, I'm quick.
It's such adolescent humor to me.
Say again?
It's such adolescent humor. And I'm an individual. I mean, even when I was working back at AAA back a couple years ago, I'm the kind of individual and I think you probably know this about me. There's times that I may change voice and character at the drop of a dime without even knowing it. So I kind of dig the whole being able to do a bunch of characters and do voices. And I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Foreign comedy don't appeal to me.
Let me, okay.
And it's comedy is always about something foreign.
Well, let me explain to you what Sacha Baron Cohen's major goal is, and a lot of people don't follow him. His goal is to explore and to expose anti-Semitism in its rawest form, because he's Jewish.
Yeah, he's Jewish, right.
And he always plays these Arab characters. Borat was an Arab character, you know, and now this new character in the movie The Dictator is, of course, an Arab character. And he likes exposing this anti-Semitism in such a way, it's almost tough to watch.
And what's crazy is, when you think about it, what's his name? Rushdie wrote the book, The Satanic Verses.
Right.
And they wanted him dead 3 million ways.
Right. Well, see, that's why the Academy Awards were worried about him coming to the Academy Awards dressed as the dictator, because they knew that he was mocking some of these countries like Syria, Libya, Egypt. They knew he was mocking these countries. I mean, if you've seen the have you seen the trailer for The Dictator, by the way?
I've seen some of it.
I
try to see some of it.
The trailer is hilarious because it's so over the top. One of my favorite scenes in the trailer is when he's in a track meet, right? And he's the one holding the gun to fire off when they run. So when he's running and everybody, and, you know, he's running down the track, and there are guys who are getting ready to beat him, to run faster than him, he starts shooting them in the knees. Right? He's shooting them in the kneecaps. And then it
was... Lucia?
Say again?
Your mic cut out for a moment. Try it again. The guys are trying to beat him, and what happened?
The guys are trying to beat him, so he takes the gun. He's running with the gun in his hand, and he's shooting his opponents with the gun in the knees. So they're falling to the ground. At one point, he stops running, and he tells the guys holding the tape at the end of the race, he just stops and just tells them to come to him so he can win the race. He just gets
so up. He can be the victor. Wow.
Yeah, he can be the victor. But when you watch it, it's pretty funny. You know, it's completely over the top. You know, of course, one of my other favorite parts is he's in the bed with actress Megan Fox. And he's paying her off. He's paying her off in jewelry. And then at one point, she picks up a ruby and she goes, "Rubies? What do I look like, a Kardashian?" And he responds, "No, no, no. You're a lot less hairy." It's the most vicious thing I've ever heard. He's just outright. And he's, again, it doesn't matter. Everybody is under attack, which is why I love about him. Anyway, we'll take a break. When we come back, I've got to talk about these Negroes losing their minds off of some glow-in-the-dark sneakers. And again, you know, when people forget their history, they're doomed to repeat it. And I'm going to make an association that a lot of people haven't. The association I'm going to make, it's going to be about something that happened in our past, about 20 years ago, in the black community. And you'll see, trust me, you'll see the similarity when we come back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Good morning, great Satan of America. How are you? I am fine, thank you. On behalf of the nation of Wadia, I am outraged at being banned from the Oscars by the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Zionists. While I applaud the Academy for taking away my right to free speech, I warn you that if you do not lift your sanctions and give me my tickets back by 12 p.m. on Sunday, you will face unimaginable consequences. Furthermore, it is an act of aggression that no Wadian films have been recognized by the Academy. Where are the nominations for such classic films as When Harry Kidnapped Sally, You've Got Mail Bomb, or Planet of the Rapes? On top of all of this, I paid Hilary Swank $2 million to be my date, and she will not refund a penny. My Sunday calendar is now as empty as a North Korean grocery store. But whatever happens, I still plan to attend director Brett Ratner's after party, since it's impossible to catch herpes twice. Death to the West! Best to America. And good luck, Billy Crystals. You're fantastic. How was that? Did I sound crazy enough?
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby, twinkle, twinkle.
And it's Reese on the Radio right here live on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. Don't forget to go to www.reeseontheradio.com and send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll be off for the weekend. Got a couple of things to do this weekend. Hope your weekend is okay. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know whether or not I'm watching the Academy Awards. Some of you might be. Some of you might not be. I don't care. Yeah. Whoever they are who's having those Halloween parties. That's exactly what it is to me. It's a Halloween party. That was not a slip.
No, you're right. Halloween.
That's what it is. It's Halloween Oscar parties. I mean, if you went to go see the film, whatever, fine. You know, that's whatever it is you do. You know. But,
and when did these become popular? The Oscar parties. I'm just hearing about it for the past 2 years.
90s was when it was really, really big.
Well, come to find out, in Hartford, they have Oscar night on Sunday.
Right.
And they have a couple spots downtown that are having huge Oscar parties, and it's all black tie.
Okay.
And it's like people that are normally afraid to come into Hartford at night would venture into Hartford on this night,
mm-hmm.
dressed in their Sunday best and their jewels, and sit around and eat hors d'oeuvres and pretend that they're at some huge party.
There
are no celebrities at these parties.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It is a Halloween party because, you know, everybody plays dress up and it's, you know, it's stupid as usual. But I want to make sure that I get into this. And I've been watching all over the news. This has been on for days and I hesitated talking about this. But I'm sure you've heard about this, the melees that have been happening at the malls and at sneaker stores across the country about these new Nike Air Foamposite sneakers. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with them. You probably are. You've probably seen the news about them. Look, these are $200 sneakers. And the thing that freaks me out the most is that the only people I see standing in line are Negroes. They're the only people I see standing online to go buy a $200 pair of sneakers. Now, look, if I remember exactly, the African-American community's unemployment rate is above 15%. They have the highest unemployment rate in the country.
That's yours and my tax money paying for them $200 sneakers.
Double the national rate. Double the national rate. The fact that Negroes are out there rushing, standing online in the cold, at least it's not bitterly cold, but I see them all outside going to buy these sneakers. And then I found out something that absolutely blew my mind, ladies and gentlemen, is that these sneakers glow in the dark. That's right. Glow in the dark sneakers. And people are rushing to go get them. Got to get the first pair, baby. Got to get some. Got to get mine. Yo, you seen them new Nikes, son? Got to get them, son. Got my two bills. Going down to go get my son. A guy on the news actually said this. Swear to you, said this on air. What are you going to do when you get home, sir? Well, I'm probably going to put them up on the shelf and look at them for like a couple of days and whatnot. Put them on the shelf and look at them for a couple of days.
Take a picture of them on the shelf in Foot Locker.
That's what I said. You can go to Foot Locker every day and see them every day you want. Are you not going to wear them? But we know why they have to be worn. Because the Negro experience is nothing if you can't show everybody you got on a pair of $200 sneakers. Living in the slums. We know that's a fact. We know that you have to have on a $200 pair of sneakers. Can't get them scuffed up. You have to walk on your tippy toes. Make sure you don't step in no dirt. And look funky fresh. Are we still
using
that?
Do they have fat laces?
No. They don't have
fat laces.
No fat
laces? No. Come on.
But you know you have to look funky fresh.
No neon fat laces?
No neon fat laces.
To go with the glow-in-the-dark.
I would love to see some fool-ass Negro with some glow-in-the-dark fat laces on a pair of glow-in-the-dark sneakers. Love to see it. I would laugh at him. At the risk of being shot, I would laugh at him. In your face, I would look at you. But here's the thing that I don't seem to understand. See, Negroes don't remember their history. And here is solid proof that they don't. And it goes a little something like this. Do you Negroes remember L.A. Gear?
Oh, I hated those sneakers. Hated them. Hated them with a passion. Those were like, L.A. Gears were like white girl sneakers. I'd be like, my sister had a bunch of them. And I'd be like, Trish, why are you wearing them ugly ass sneakers? They are ugly.
Do you remember L.A. Gear, JC? Where are you, buddy? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Remember L.A. Gear?
They were Becky sneakers.
Yeah.
They were Becky sneakers.
They were Becky sneakers. Folks, for those of you who don't know what that means.
Oh, my God.
Becky.
Look at her butt. She must be one of those tough guys' girlfriends.
Yeah. Becky is a term that the hood uses for white girls.
Or snow bunny.
Yeah, snow bunnies is an old one.
Snowflake.
Yeah. But,
no,
okay.
Not snowflake. Snowflake. Snow bunny.
Snowflakes are white.
No, or bugaboo. In the hood, they call a bugaboo.
Oh, I don't know about
in
that
Rochdale
one.
In Rochdale Village,
oh, I always
thought
bugaboo was a welfare mother.
No, a bugaboo.
That was me. Anyway, but do you guys remember L.A. Gear? Does anybody remember when L.A. Gear had the light-up sneaker in the back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember what caused the hood to stop purchasing them? Anybody remember?
They couldn't afford the batteries.
No.
They couldn't afford the batteries?
There would have to be a battery in the yoga for its light-up.
No. Yeah, well,
they got laughed at.
No, that's not why they got laughed at.
Because you could see them.
Right.
Wherever they were.
Drug dealers couldn't stop buying these silly little sneakers. One drug dealer had on a pair of light-up L.A. Gears, and they lit up in the heel. He was running through a dark patch of the woods, and the cops followed him because his L.A. Gears were lighting up.
I remember that.
Of course you do.
So let them with their $200 sneakers
blow in the dark, for crying out loud. How are you going to run from the popo, the 5-0, the 50s,
the pigs,
the P9s? How are you going to run from them with a pair of glow-in-the-dark sneakers, you fool?
You might as well put, like, some dog nips in your socks.
Exactly. So the K9s can find you. You know, just putting some begging sticks inside your sneakers. Why don't you just do that? So I don't seem to understand it. Do they not get it? Do they not understand that Nike is only saying, hey, you want to be able to catch these Negroes when they're running from you? We've got a plan. We're going to put LeBron James and Kobe Bryant's names on a pair of sneakers, and we're going to make them glow in the dark, and we're going to put them for $200. The Negroes won't stop coming in. They'll be here every day, all day. And you'll find your drug dealers and those kids out there committing crimes without a problem. Thank you, police force. Thank you, Nike. Negroes, get out there and buy them now. That's right. They're on sale for a whopping $199.
Just under $200.
Just under $200.
$199.99.
Hurry up.
Or we should say it's the DMV.
$199.99. The point of the matter is that the Negroes will rush it to go get these brand new sneakers, and there should be no more problems in the hood. How stupid do you have to be? Now, I'm going to say this, 67% right. Usually 67% right. I am already going to say it. By the summer, you're going to hear a story where a kid was arrested because the police could find him through his glow-in-the-dark $200 sneakers. Anybody willing to bet me?
What was that?
That an officer, that there will be a story where a young man will be arrested because he was found, because the police officers followed his glow-in-the-dark sneakers.
Oh, I'm guaranteed.
Oh, it's going to happen.
I'm gonna say by mid-spring.
And maybe. Because not only did he find them by the glow-in-the-dark sneakers, but that's why they were chasing him, because he took somebody else's glow-in-the-dark.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be easy to find them. You think it'll happen by early spring, JC?
Yes.
Oh, I think the warmer it gets, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. And then sitting there talking about, oh, man, them things are whack, man. I ain't buying them things no more, man. I'm gonna, them things get you caught by the cops, man. Them things get you caught by the cops. That's exactly what you're going to hear. Then why don't these fools figure it out? Why don't they figure out? And who wants glow-in-the-dark sneakers? For what reason? JC, you've got your ear to the hood. Can you phone up one of your boys and explain to me what the fascination is with glow-in-the-dark sneakers?
Yeah, let me think. Hold on. Let me jump on my Facebook list.
Get
we're
one of
call somebody.
His friends on the line. And
hold
let's
on.
Ask, he's got to have his ear to the street. He's got to be boogie down and down. I mean, he's got to be from the hood, of the hood, by the hood, with the hood. He's got to love the hood. I just want to know. It's amazing that people would want any part of these sneakers. And I can't wait. I just need JC, please, find me anybody. I mean, they got to be down in the hood. I mean, you know, they got to be project living, weed smoking, CeeLo rattling, dice handling, quarter water drinking, Four Loko loving. They've got to be hood dwellers. They got to be that type.
You
know,
think it's comfortable though?
They probably are. They're foam, for crying out loud.
I would probably go buy a pair. I mean, comfortability. I don't know about the glow in the dark because I'm not down with that.
You'll never be seen with me in public if you put those things on.
And that is relevant.
Okay, I'm just letting you know. Saying you want to rock them, you rock them. You'll never catch me in those things. I got me a pair of, let me see.
You've created a monster, but there is still some Negro in her.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wait. There will always be Negro in me.
No, this is just sick. Jesus, goodness gracious. Point of the matter is that I've got to know. I've got to investigate this. I've got to understand why they would want to do this to themselves. So that's why I'm doing this little experiment. It's not scientific, but I figured somebody from the hood has got to know. Like I was saying, I want somebody from the hood, you know, he's got to say words like, you know what I'm saying, in between every sentence.
You know what I'm saying, yo?
Know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? I just got to rock them, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? There's a style. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want that guy.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? I want that guy. Like, the little white kids always put like in the middle of everything. So, like, we were going to our friend's house, and she was like, okay, we can go. And then I was like, but do you think we should go now, or should we, like, go at 3:30? And she was like, I don't know. 3:30 is, like, not late, but it's, like, not that early. And I need to do my homework first. I want the antithesis of that. When the white kids say like in every sentence, I want the, you know what I'm saying. That's the part that makes me laugh. Because you know who says, you know what I'm saying the most?
Who?
Guys who earn a living by writing lyrics. Rappers. They're supposed to be the most creative people in the world.
Rappers in today's day and age are not the most creative people in the world.
They
Get
write
out
songs,
here.
For crying out
They're
loud.
They're writing crap.
No, this is true. Point of the matter
let's
is.
Let's talk about Run DMC and let's talk about Eric B. and Rakim. You want to talk about rappers?
Well, even they did it back in the days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but not every other sentence, and they weren't talking about.
Every other sentence. I'm in the middle of every sentence.
No, they did not.
And Reverend Run still does it to this day.
You know what I'm saying?
Reverend Run does not.
Yeah, he does.
My Adidas Santa on 215. Don't even try.
Oh, come on. All right, she's got enough for Run DMC. But okay, so how are you looking, JC? Do we have somebody?
I'm checking. I've already checked with three people, just waiting on a response.
Okay, because I need.
One of them happens to be a rapper and writer too.
Is he a rapper?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, gang bang bang shoot him up. Like he's one of them rappers.
No, he's actually a good guy.
Oh, he's not okay. He doesn't write about violence.
No.
Well, what does he write about?
partying, clubbing, girls.
Oh, same thing. Okay, that fits in the same category.
Anything. Hold on.
Okay, hold on. I think we may be getting a response. We are going to see, this is what we do here on Lisa Radio, investigative reporting. We're going to go down there, and we're going to go down into the hood, into the dredges of the hood, and we're going to talk to one of their own and find out what the fascination is with these Nike Air foam posit sneakers.
False alarm, but I'm making some calls. Give me a second.
Okay, all right. We're going to get some calls. We'll take
Are
a break.
Are we really making this big of a deal?
We're going to make a big deal about this. Listen, there. Look.
We're marketing for them.
It doesn't matter. Look, there are lines across the nation to get these sneakers.
Are there really?
You have to see it. You have to see it to believe it.
You saw it.
Listen, they're beating down the doors.
Yeah.
They're camping out.
Is this like the Apple phone of sneakers?
Yes. That's
yes.
What it is. Yes, it's exactly
the
what it
iPhone
looks like.
The iPhone of
sneakers. The iPhone of sneakers. That's exactly what it looks like. That's the reason why we have to know. And I figured, who else to get it from? I don't understand it.
Are the people that made these sneakers making $2 an hour like they are?
Of course they are.
Of course
they are. You know what they are. These sneakers are being made in the Philippines for $3 a pop. That's exactly what it is. Well, JC, we'll go to a break. And when we come back.
I'm going to make a bunch of calls real quick.
Yeah, make a bunch of calls. We'll take that time to make a bunch of calls, and then we'll see whether or not we can get somebody. The number is 347-308-8701. If you know somebody from the hood, if you heard of somebody from the hood and may have their phone number, I want to talk to the ghetto. The ghetto. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
This one time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the fucking ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" He was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like... He didn't even talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like... Some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh, my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us." We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading a hostage letter. They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport. You're not going to see it. Terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know it was black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, "Hello,
We have got five black. Hello?
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. The point, am I, I'm not joking.
And we're back at Reese on the Radio, live on blogtalkradio.com. Reese on the Radio, the number 347-308-8701, live here on this February 24th, 2012. It's Friday night, folks, so you know what's happening tonight. It's the Friday Night Dance Party right here on Reese on the Radio. Now, I don't have a theme song, but I have a song that I really, really loved, and I was glad I found it, because when I found this song, I immediately put it on my phone, I put it on my iTunes, and I was glad to find it because he's, you know, this guy is one of my favorite artists out there, so I figured we'd play it. It's a good song, and it didn't get a lot of radio play. It may have gotten a lot of radio play. In fact, I'll find out from the guys whether or not the song got some radio play where, of course, JC is in Hartford, Connecticut, and Mary, who's in Virginia and near the D.C. area. I want to know whether or not she actually got to hear this particular song. JC, have we had any luck in the last 8 minutes of the top of the hour? Because I've got a...
No such luck. I don't know any Negroes rich enough.
You don't know any Negroes in the trenches.
If they're in the trenches, they're untouchable at this moment.
You know what?
That's because they're standing in line waiting to get there.
They're probably out there standing in line. No, you don't. You seriously can't find one? What about that guy who's who friended me on Facebook? He's a rapper. Were you trying to call him?
Which one? Who's that?
His name begins with a J something. I don't know why I'm forgetting his name right now.
No. He's not even on right now. You know who would have them, believe it or not?
Who would have them?
People. Huh?
Who? Say again. Who's that?
Vance would have them.
Vance?
Yeah.
Oh,
first
mean-
initial K.
First initial K.
Yeah, he would have them.
Oh, I don't know who that is. I don't know why, but that's not ringing a bell to me.
He's not on right now either.
Oh, okay. I'm going to see. Hold on. Here's the guy I'm talking about. Let me look on my friends list, and I'll tell you who it is that I'm talking about.
The friends list with the person on it that he doesn't even remember their name.
I know, but the only reason why I know him is because he knows JC, and I know he's a rap. There he is. It's not a J. He's the guy.
Jari Reed.
No, not him, not him. This guy, Young C.
He's actually he's a producer. He's out in California.
Oh, is he in California?
Yeah.
Come on, you got to get in contact with him. Because I'm looking at everybody who's on my friends list, and I have to admit there are only 2 to 3 Negroes on it. Okay, I'm.
Yeah, he's not on right now.
My friends list on my. Yeah, I have to admit this, folks. My friends list. There are very, very few Negroes on the list. Now, I would talk to my brother, but I know he's not interested in that kind of stuff. He's too old for that kind of stuff.
You see the name I put on there, but he's not on right now either. And we talk often.
You do? Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, he'd be perfect.
He'd have them.
Yeah, he probably would have a pair.
He probably got more than one pair.
Oh, he would be perfect. He is right up there. He's in Atlanta, too, right?
Yeah, he's in Atlanta. Hold
he's
on.
He's in Atlanta. There were raids out there, man. There were raids. There have already been reports that, and we're talking about these new Nike Air foamposite sneakers, folks, in case you didn't catch us in the beginning. That, you know, the Negroes, and look, I don't care how offended you are at the fact that I use the word Negro, okay?
Negro.
That's what you want to be called. That's what I would refer to you as, Negroes. Negroes are lined around the block, 1,000, trying to get their hands on a pair of glow-in-the-dark sneakers. Because the Negroes must be shining, and shining, and shining, and shining. I don't care. I don't care.
Can I just say that I do not agree
or
with endorse everything that this Negro is saying right here on the radio about his fellow Negro?
See, I don't mind that
I
you.
Love the Negro.
I don't mind that you call me a Negro.
I know, but other people would.
Do you understand? Why would they?
If I said it,
why would you be?
No, I'm saying
no. Why would any Negro be offended by the term?
I don't know why. But
do you know what's the name of the famous college fund?
The United Negro College
Fund. Whoa! It ain't called the United Black College Fund.
No, it's not.
What? Uh-huh. What about the NAACP? Doesn't that stand for the National Association for the Advancement of Coloreds?
Mm-hmm.
Coloreds. Coloreds. Why would they be affected?
I'm definitely coming down with a cold. I do apologize.
Yep, yeah, you're coming down with a cold, all right. Bottom line is they know that they are Negroes.
But only other Negroes can call them Negroes.
What am I?
Yes, you are a Negro, but I don't even know if they know you're a Negro.
Yes, they do. They know I'm a Negro.
The way that you talk.
They know I get down for mine. I keep it real,
they
son.
Think you're a they think you're a Negro and hater.
I get down for mine. I keep it real, though.
What?
I'm trying to speak their language. Do you mind?
That's not how all Negroes talk.
Well, the Negroes I'm talking to speak like that. Holler back, youngin'.
Whoop, whoop.
Holler, back. holler, pop your collar.
I think that individual that I posted up,
yeah,
has his phone number on his page.
Okay, so you paged him?
I think I want to call them.
Okay, well, if you can get
him,
see if we can get a Negro within the next 2 hours.
Oh,
see if we can.
That was so dumb.
What?
All right.
We're hunting for Negroes. We're searching for Negroes.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yes,
it's a Negro search.
Oh, my God.
What? Why can't we put a plea out for Negroes? In fact, post it on your Facebook page.
Negro APB.
Yes,
oh
yes, that's
God.
Yes.
I already got one out there. I already got one out there. Guess who put it out there?
Who did?
A white kid friend of mine.
Yes, an APB. Tell him we need an APB for all Negroes interested in the Nike Air foamposite sneaker. And to please call, we'd like to investigate the fascination with glow-in-the-dark kicks.
I think I'm going to try Vance first.
Okay, try him first. We'll see what it is that we can do. We will get to that. By the way, when we come back, folks, in the next hour. Now, I don't know whether or not I've convinced you yet, Mary. I don't know whether or not I've convinced you, JC. But I have audio proof that when George W. Bush was president and gas prices reached $3.50, that the media and everyone blamed the president of the United States. Now, you know gas prices so far have skyrocketed. Right.
Every day I go past the gas station and the gas prices are creeping and creeping and creeping higher. I think today, low grade, I just went past the gas station, was like $3.71. Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, $3.71.
Never.
But wait until you hear how the media responds to the gas prices now compared to with the way the media dealt with
it. I mean, I know. I see it's every day. I see it on the news every day.
But listen
they
to.
They talk about it, but they're not talking about it like they were talking about it when Bush was president.
Yes, it's funny. When you hear this audio, you will be amazed. That's right. When we come back right here on Reese on the Radio, stick around.
America.
Yeah, it's the top of the hour. We'll be back. Stick around.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb, it sleeping by the snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the radio. We're back. The number's 347-308-8701 on this February the 24th, 2012, just 1 minute after the hour, 8:01 Eastern Standard Time, for all of you who care. This was something that I knew I would be able to find because, of course, there are people out there in the blogosphere who love to make this stuff obvious. And it's amazing because it's not like people don't know that the double standard is there. There are some people who ignore it. But the media, you know, they know that people have a short attention span. And the media hated George W. Bush. This is the reason why I'm always perplexed at the shock and awe that people seem to have at the vitriol for Barack Obama. You know, the fact that, you know, they criticize him and they rag on him and the Tea Party doesn't like him and Republicans don't like him. And, you know, nobody did this when Bush was around. It's so funny because I'm going, you know, you people hated Bush. You blamed him for everything. So many people went so far as to say that the man steered Hurricane Katrina into Louisiana. Oh, yeah. And blamed the man for 9/11. Man is in office for 9 months, the biggest terrorist act, the largest terrorist act on the United States in the history, 235-year history, and they blamed it on Bush just 9 months in.
You know who I blame it on?
Who you blame it on?
What's the guy's name that was in the middle of that, oh my God, he has a funny name, and they asked him, who do you fear most? And he said that he feared most, what's his name? The one they just killed. Look, I can't even...
Osama bin Laden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was it that said that? It was, what is the guy's name? Tall, thin, white guy.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Who was president at the time? Oh, my God. The name is on the tip of my tongue. I can't think.
Okay, well, you think about it. We'll figure it out.
I couldn't even think about Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, that's scary.
I'm back, got the voicemail, and I sent him a message directly to his phone. His phone is attached to his Facebook.
Okay, good enough. We will continue to do our search to find a Negro in the hood. I've definitely, this clearly sounds like I need to work on my Negro repertoire and to get me a larger a group of black friends.
Negro colleagues are staying the hell away from
you. Yeah, I'm sure they are. So,
if I can get Mary to do you a favor, quick favor, could you run out and get him a side order of chitlins? Bring him some collard greens. And no fork. He needs some cornbread so he can eat it all together with his fingers.
Don't forget
the hot sauce.
Let me get back to my subject anyway. People seem to forget that Barack Obama has been getting a pass. But you know what? I had to go out there and go search. Didn't take me long, but it was easy to do. What you are going to hear first is the audio of the press, the media, And heads of state, Nancy Pelosi, other people, Hillary Clinton even, blaming the Bush administration for gas prices in 2007 and 2008. And then it will pause and you will hear the audio of how now the media, I won't even tell you. Just listen to what the media has done. I'm not going to show you two contrasts. You're not going to hear two contrasts. You're not going to hear media one say, Bush's fault. You're going to hear that. But wait until you hear how the media responds to high gas prices during the Bush administration. Listen to what they tell you. It's astounding.
What do you say to people who are losing patience with gas prices at $3 a gallon?
What we are seeing is, you know, a government run for the oil company. Drivers are paying a heavy price for the Bush administration's failure to enact a comprehensive energy strategy. This Congress, under the Democratic leadership, is working to make up for years of inaction, taking America in a new direction that helps bring down the cost of gas. Gas prices have more than doubled since George Bush became our president.
Good evening, I'm Cynthia McFadden. Tonight, $3.51. That's the average price nationwide of a single gallon of regular unleaded gasoline. That means a 15-gallon tank now costs more than $50 to fill. As a little reference point, the week George W. Bush was sworn in as president, the price of a gallon of gas was $1.47. Now, even accounting for inflation, that's almost a 200% increase. And since we're guessing your paycheck hasn't grown 200% in the last 8 years, we asked Vicki Mabry to head to Arlington, Texas, to see the creative ways people are paying their
people are blaming oil companies for these high prices, but in what could be an ominous sign for Republicans, a number of people we spoke to are blaming President Bush.
With the Bush administration under pressure to curb rising gas prices,
the political pressure is rising about as fast as the price of gas. So the president gives a major energy speech today.
Spiking gas prices from coast to coast have created new political pain for an administration already falling in the polls.
Well, now, I noticed some folks clapped, but I know some of these big guys, they're all still driving their big SUVs. You know, they got their big monster trucks and everything. You're one of them? Well, now, here's my point. You know, if you're complaining about the price of gas and you're only getting 8 miles a gallon, you know, well, you may have a big family, but it's probably not that big. So, how many of you have? 10 kids, you said? 10 kids? Well, you definitely need a hybrid van then.
And now, look what they did.
You wouldn't think high gas and oil prices would be a blessing in disguise, but they are. As Victor Lopez found out, they're causing a big jump in the number of jobs.
We turn now to 5 things you should know about gas, specifically why gas prices, even at over $4 a gallon, can sometimes be a good thing.
And we know that rising gas prices are forcing us to search for alternative fuels and more fuel-efficient cars. There are some other reasons to be optimistic about the high cost of gas. Here are just a few of them.
2,220 people have already been saved over the past year because a reduction in driving has led to less particle pollution in the air. If gas prices stay at $4 a gallon for a year or more, then we can expect that about 1,000 people a month will not die.
Things that you can do individually, though, to save energy. Making sure your tires are properly inflated. Simple thing. But we could save all the oil that they're talking about getting off drilling. If everybody was just inflating their tires and getting regular tune-ups, you could actually save just as much.
So could these high prices help us?
I think that I would have preferred a gradual adjustment.
Wow. Gas prices hit a new record high, and the Energy Department says you can expect $4 gas through the rest of this year and into next year as well.
I think that I would have preferred a gradual adjustment.
Gas prices now hitting a new record high today, topping $4 a gallon.
I think that I would have preferred a gradual adjustment.
It's cutting deep into our pockets, and gas prices have once again risen to another record.
It was the most memorable time of my life. It was a touching moment.
Why?
Because I never thought this day would ever happen. I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
Who is she talking about? She's talking about Barack Hussein Obama. Now, again, you see my point?
I'm not going to have to put gas in my car.
Yeah, that's what one of the people said. She said she would not have to put gas. She won't have to worry about putting gas in her car. She won't have to worry about paying her mortgage. Again, this was what the narrative, how the narrative changed.
Isn't that what she said prior to him becoming president?
No, this was at his inauguration.
Okay, well, he hadn't really done anything yet.
She said that he hadn't
shucked it all up yet.
Exactly. But the bottom line was, you see, now the woman was talking about, one woman said that higher gas prices are a benefit.
Yeah.
But they didn't say that. They didn't say that during the Bush administration. She said that there are less people driving, less pollution,
and less
deaths. Less deaths. They didn't say that about George W. Bush. No. George W. Bush, gas prices were a problem. Gas prices went up. Oh, it was good. Some people are blaming George W. Bush. Gas prices up to $4.
At their all-time highest.
At the all-time highest.
Even over $4 in California.
And Barack, they're up to $5. But Barack Obama, what's the response?
You should put air in your tires.
Put air in your tires.
Or get...
Buy a hybrid.
Or take care of the maintenance on your car.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
Why'd you have 10 kids that you
need to
get yourself
a hybrid? Oh, you got
10
kids? Yeah, you need to get yourself
a hybrid
van.
Ridiculous.
So do I need to say this more and more, over and over? What do I need to do? It's proof positive, bottom line, that it's a double standard when it comes to the liberals and conservatives in this country.
But the saddest part of all of this is, even though people hear it, they won't pay attention to it. They're blinded. They seriously are.
You know,
I talk to people about this stuff on a daily basis, and it's unbelievable.
You know what you should do?
That they don't even want to hear my. They're just like, oh, you just what you want. You hate abortion, or you know, what about those women that get raped and la la? And I'm just like, oh my god,
Wait a minute. Thanks to this show, you have those numbers.
But they're quick to make a judgment against. They don't even want to listen to what I have to say. They're just quick to make a judgment, and it doesn't make any sense. It's like, wait a minute, I'm listening to your opinion. So, and I respect that you have your own opinion. I'm not trying to change your opinion. I'm just trying to tell you why I feel like this. But you're not even giving me the opportunity
to. They never ever will. What do you want to say, JC?
I just got into a very heated argument with my brother today.
Okay.
So I made him sit down and I made him listen to Representative...
Alan West.
Mm-hmm. I had him listen to that. He listened to it. But he jumps up angrily and says, well, why don't you tell what the Republicans have done wrong? I said, my homework's done already. You go out and tell me what they've done wrong. And then he started going into the whole Uncle Tom and that white people got me programmed, and it's like, it's not even a white way of thinking.
White people got me programmed.
That's what he says, that white people have him programmed.
Like his brain programmed?
Yeah, me.
They say white people have JC programmed because he thinks in a conservative way. Here it is, he heard another black man talking about how the Republicans have helped us through history. And all he has to do is look up what Alan West said. If he doesn't believe it, look it up himself. We are in the information society.
Standing right there.
But the point is that what does he say to JC? He goes that JC is brainwashed, or he's been brainwashed by white people. But when he says, tell me what the Republicans have done for me, and all my question would be to him is, tell me what they haven't done. The man just sat here and gave you 16 minutes worth of what Republicans have done for you. You tell me what they haven't done.
Yeah. And
then that's how you throw it back to him. Say, I just gave you 16 minutes worth of what Republicans have done for black people. Please explain to me what they haven't done. If you don't think they've done anything, and I just gave you 16 minutes of a soundbite worth, what do you want?
And your own black president is not doing anything for you.
I would ask.
But it's
okay,
because he's black.
JC, when you talk, is this your nephew you said, or your cousin?
It's my brother.
Your brother, I apologize. Listen to me. If you really, really want to stump him in the argument, real simple, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to do something. And this is a great test for you to do, okay? It's a great test for anybody to do. I promise you. I want you to take a piece of paper I want you to show it to your brother. And you're going to say to your brother, you're going to say, I'm going to write something down on this piece of paper. I'm going to fold it, and I'm going to put it down in front of you. Do not open it. Do not show him what you wrote. Okay? And simply ask him this question. Okay? Ask him, what have the Democrats done for you? This is what you write on the paper, because it will be his answer. This will be his answer. The Democrats care about the people. He will not have a policy. He will not have a. He will not have anything thought out. He will not have any distinct answer for you on any groundbreaking things that the Democratic Party have done for black people. He won't have one. Write down on a piece of paper, and you can write these down, because this is a typical answer by most Negroes when you ask them this question. Democrats are for the people. Start attacking Republicans. Just write that down. Start attacking Republicans. They will definitely do that in their answer. And lastly, always lastly, this is the most important thing. They will mention Bill Clinton. And all you say, you just tell them, I'm going to write three things down. And I bet you, you will respond in one of those three ways in that piece of paper, but you will not distinctly in any way, give me a solid answer as to what Democrats have done for African Americans in this country. Because he won't have the answer.
Or for anybody in that matter.
Exactly. He won't have an answer. No one ever does in the black community. They've got no answers.
It's not just the black community, though.
Well, all I care about is the black community.
Well, excuse the hell out of me.
I'm black.
You're segregating
yourself?
No.
Understand what I'm talking about. See, white Americans don't have to worry about being black or a minority. I'm black. And the one thing that I want minorities to do is to consider another way, since the way that they've been considering all their lives have failed them. So I'm concerned for those who are uninformed. What can I do for a person who's informed? Nothing. I'm just sharing the same ideas.
You can't even do anything for most people that aren't informed.
That's not true.
That's not true.
That is not true.
You can't.
Those who are uninformed need the best teacher. Those people who lack knowledge must be...
Not everybody wants to learn. Not everybody wants to be informed.
Of course they don't want to learn, but then you've got to speak to them in a language that they can understand. This is the reason why I do what I do. This is why I call them Negroes. This is why I make fun of their glow-in-the-dark sneakers.
Why you are now the monster that you are.
Yeah, exactly. I am the monster that I am because...
Like, you should see the smile on his face.
You are the monster that I created.
You have become a monster.
But why has that
happened?
It's happened because I'm not the monster that you created, okay? Shut up, JC.
But you had to be shown and proved, but in a way...
It wasn't even shown and proved. It was more of a way that... Politics was a conversation that we talked about. I knew nothing about it. So I was like, how the hell can I sit here and give my opinion about anything if I don't educate myself? So I became interested in it.
But we did it in an entertaining way, see?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, see, exactly. So that's the way.
If it wouldn't have been entertaining, I probably would have just been like, oh, whatever. I would not be sitting in class in college.
Right. I do it with humor.
And that's how most people understand politics.
That's how they understand.
That's straight and boring. But if you make it entertaining, they'll get it.
And you insult them from time to time?
More frequently than usual,
but sometimes
every
you got
single day.
Sometimes you got to do it that way.
Tough love.
Tough Negro love.
Sometimes you got to give an ass whipping with a laugh.
We're still on the hunt for a Negro.
Yes, we are still on the hunt for a Negro. I promise you, we will find one before the show is over. Okay, it's Hunt for a Negro Friday here on Free Sunday Radio. An APB out on any Negro who can explain to me the Nike Air, foam site, whatever it's called. What's this stupid sneaker called? The foam posit. Somebody. Holler at your boy, as they say.
Holler.
Holler back.
Can you at least say it like a Negro says?
It's never going to happen.
Not from those words.
Not from me. Oh, biatch, that was great. That I can do. That's one of my.
You know, ironically, that's like the top story on the news today.
Isn't it? Well, I'm going to get into that. We're going to do that. Yes, yes, my favorite word. When we come back, listen. When we come back, listen. There is so much entertainment news. We've got to get into some entertainment news today. So, and there's so much because, of course, the Oscars are this weekend, and there's plenty of it. Chris Brown, of course, is still back in the news about this whole phone jacking thing. You know, the guy from 300, he's in rehab. We'll talk about all of that. I promise you. When we get back, we'll get back to it. Anyway, again, here's the. Oh, I gotta play this. This is one of my favorite clips of the week, folks.
Hello, this is Calandra, not your mother, Anna Bomber. And guess what, people? I love President Obama. Yes, I do. I love President Obama. And guess what? I voted for him. Do you want to know why I voted for him? Do you want to know why? Because he's black. He's black. Yes, I said it. I said it again. Yeah, I voted for him because he was black. Yes, I did. And guess what? I'm going to get me some health care. Showed up. I don't know why you're looking at me. You need to be at work so you can pay for my health care. I love it. I love it. Yes, I do. I'm getting health care. Ain't got no job. I love America. I love me some America. Me and my 7 children, all 7 of my children are going to get some health care now. Showing up, sign the bill, honey. Sign the bill. So, anywho, that's all I got to say about it. And if you don't like President Barack Obama, if you don't like him, then you is a racist. Yes, I said it. You is a racist. Uh-huh. Yeah, you are. Because you know what? President Obama is doing good by me. Uh-huh, now, yes, I can get sick now. So y'all keep going to work, making all that money, because your taxes is helping me and my chillings. All right, over and out. Thank you. I love America.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges.
Tell him, please, forward me that
energy
audio
and experience
of that
to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
how you doing? I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates.
Yeah, of course.
Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
I thought it was funny to mention.
I was like,
there's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's saying it, but I'm going to leave it to the real professional. Call up at 347 3
1-800-878-8701 to give me your – it's my problem. You deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknight on blogtalkradio.com.
Come in here and not
tell you.
You know what I mean?
I understand. Proven conservative leadership. At uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
And we're back. It's Reese on the Radio right here live on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ReeseOnTheRadio. The number is 347-308-8701. 27 minutes after the hour. Hey, Black History Month almost arrived.
Can't wait!
How you mentioned it?
I'm not going to bash the Latinos.
I don't do all that. That's unnecessary.
No, get the illegals out of here.
Well, Hispanic history is for people who are American Hispanics. Hispanic Americans. Those are the people. And I'm not going to bash the, you know. And, you know, why would I bash the Latinos? Hey,
any chance you get, you bash people. Why? Would
yeah, it doesn't matter who it is that they are. I bash them no matter what. That's
so,
it.
Okay.
Well, anyway, listen, we had talked about earlier before you showed up, there was some entertainment news.
Sorry, I was late.
No, it's okay. No biggie. No big deal.
I
let me.
I just got scolded.
For those of you who missed it, did you hear this story about Sacha Baron Cohen, who was told that he could not show up at the Oscars if he was going to show up in the dictator garb? Now, Sacha Baron Cohen is a comedian who did the movie Borat. Okay, so you're familiar with Borat.
Yes, I'm familiar with Borat.
Okay.
Who
so,
is not?
All right, so JC actually hasn't watched any of his films.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he didn't.
JC is hilarious. You have to watch
it. Hey, he doesn't find his humor very funny. So anyway, in this new movie, Sacha Baron Cohen plays a dictator, and it's a fictional Arab country. Anyway, so he was going to show up at the Oscars. I guess they got wind that he was going to show up at the Oscars as in this dictator garb. And Hollywood is very bold, at least the motion pictures, arts, and sciences are concerned that he may be insensitive and Arab Americans or Arab countries may see him displaying in this fictional character and be insensitive because they know he's mocking Arab nations in this garb. And
so
in this
you
movie.
Can make these movies.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't show up.
Well, no. What he's saying is, you know, if he shows up with a red carpet and a tuxedo, that's fine. But if he shows up playing this character and it gains, of course, worldwide attention, oh, look at the Americans, they're mocking us, you know, this is why
what
we hate America.
What happened to the Christians?
Well, yeah, again, I told you, they don't care about
being mocked.
Absolutely.
Just
absolutely.
Less than 2 weeks ago.
Exactly. They don't care about that. But they're worried about Arab nations because
the Arab nations have power now.
They'll strap a bomb to themselves.
Yes.
That's why. They don't want any terrorist activity. Anyway, so Sacha Baron Cohen was upset that he couldn't go and, of course, promote the film and do some spectacle to do what it is that he does, which is funny. So he put out a video that was released on the Today Show in his dictator garb as the dictator from the movie. And this is the video he released. So I wanted to play it for you earlier. I played it earlier, but I wanted to play it for you because you'd love it.
Good morning, great Satan of America. How are you? I am fine, thank you. On behalf of the nation of Wadia, I am outraged at being banned from the Oscars by the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts, and Zionists. While I applaud the Academy for taking away my right to free speech, I warn you that if you do not lift your sanctions and give me my tickets back by 12 p.m. on Sunday, you will face unimaginable consequences. Furthermore, it is an act of aggression that no Wadian films have been recognized by the Academy. Where are the nominations for such classic films as When Harry Kidnapped Sally, You've Got Mail Bomb, or Planet of the Rapes? On top of all of this, I paid Hilary Swank $2 million to be my date, and she will not refund a penny. My Sunday calendar is now as empty as a North Korean grocery store. But whatever happens, I still plan to attend director Brett Ratner's after party, since it's impossible to catch herpes twice. Death to the West, death to America, and good luck, Billy Crystal. You're fantastic. How was that? Did I sound crazy enough?
That was hilarious.
Yeah, but of course, that's making fun of them is exactly what Sacha Baron Cohen does. He can make fun of the Academy of Arts and Sciences, and these stuffed shirts, as I say, they're upset because they just can't take a joke, they can't take a ribbing. You can mock everybody else, and as you just pointed out, you can mock the Catholics. Think about this. He's going to show up as an Arab dictator. But Nicki Minaj, she could show up with the Pope?
Yeah, and her garb on, too. Yeah.
And
then perform
an exorcist on it? She can mock the Catholic religion, but don't mock the Arabs.
Well, because the Catholic are not going to blow people up.
But again, this is exactly...
The Arabs may, put off a nuclear weapon.
But again, and I mentioned this in shows before, and that is because everyone knows that the Catholic faith is not known for strapping bombs to themselves and acting or responding with terrorism. So you can slap them around all day. Now, JC, I make a valid point here, right? Notice how Nicki Minaj, nobody wanted to be outraged about that, but they are quick to stop Sacha Baron Cohen from mocking Arabs and their religion and their way of life, which I find, it's incredibly odd. Anyway, to get into some entertainment news, which I promised to get into, and I think I'm going to do that if we can. Would you mind doing something like that, Mary, if we do some entertainment on Friday?
No, I love entertainment.
Okay, so you want to do something. We'll lighten it up on Fridays. Okay, so
Friday should always be light.
We say it's light, right? So we'll just talk about all the...
Especially when it's payday Friday.
Oh, whatever. You would make it anyway. So apparently Chris Brown is exercising his right to remain silent. And this is all according to TMZ. Actually, no, this is coming from Splash News Online, but TMZ is reporting it. Chris Brown was asked squarely for the first time, did he steal a Florida woman's cell phone? Brown, who was in Orlando, was mum on the subject. But the freelance photographer had some choice words for the silent Brown, the 24-year-old Crystal. And wow, it is spelled like the liquor. Well, with an H, but yeah, Crystal Spann filed a police report last Sunday claiming the singer snatched her phone right out of her hands when she tried to take a picture of him and then drove away, as we reported yesterday. We posted a video this morning showing an agitated Crystal describing the incident to police just moments after the alleged phone jacking. The case is under criminal investigation. It's nice to know that that our tax dollars are being spent on a stolen cell phone. If the woman has a registered cell phone and he's in possession of it, he'd probably thrown it away by now.
But he can afford to buy her $500 more. Give her a damn phone back and let's get over it.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, somebody's got to do something.
Of course they're going to give him all the media they can. And people are going to read it. And they want to know about it.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
On anyway. Their lunch break.
Now, are you remotely interested in Dancing with the Stars?
No.
No? Okay, well, apparently this is a big deal. There are some reports out there saying Dancing with the Stars has already, well, at least there's been a leak as to who's been, who's going to be on the new cast. They say that Jack Wagner, who's a former soap star, and I actually know somebody who's, I believe, is actually kind of smitten with Jack Wagner. Anyway, Jack Wagner, Jack Wagner, who got into a fight back in December with Heather Locklear. I didn't know they were still dating. That was really weird. Anyway, so they say Jack Wagner and Sherry Shepherd, the cuter black girl on The View, will also be there. And Melissa Gilbert from Little House on the Prairie. That is just scary.
I love her.
You know, can we just... Can we just call the show Dancing with the Has-Beens? Now, I don't know if you guys... I don't even want to even report this story because I hate stories like this. And, you know, Kool-Aid Man should be here because he would totally identify with this story. But rapper Juvenile is adamant he's a good father, a damn good father, according to reports, who takes care of his children. That's why he was shocked to find out that a warrant had been issued for his arrest over unpaid child support. It's been reported that the Back That Ass Up rapper, who put it bluntly, this is a bunch of bull spit. As previously reported, Juvenile is a wanted man in Louisiana for allegedly stiffing the mother of his child out of.
No, that's not what it says. It says. For
I'm not going to read what.
Baby mama.
I'm reading the mother of his. I never use that term. I won't use it. Anyway. The rapper says that he was never informed that there was a warrant for his arrest. He says his son stays with him most of the time. He says he takes care of his son, and he says, I love my son. Yes, we sure you do. You sure you love your son. Whatever. Also, as I mentioned earlier, the 300-star Gerard Butler has been treated for substance abuse at the Betty Ford Center. Now, I didn't know this. Apparently, he was injured when he was filming the movie 300, which came out years ago in 2006. And apparently, he had suffered so much pain that he was stuck on painkillers. And they're saying that he went to rehab at the Betty Ford Center for this. He entered it about 3 weeks ago.
No, well, okay, if you read here, though, it's actually, so he was on pain management when he was filmed, after shooting 300, and then he went on to shooting another movie of Men and Mavericks when he was badly injured on December 18th during a surfing accident, and that's when the pain management pills started to become...
Yeah, but saying that's when they got exaggerated on the next filming, but apparently he had hurt himself during the filming of 300. But the bottom line is, I don't understand the painkiller addiction thing. Is that just me being naive? I don't understand. How does one...
I've seen people crush up Percocet.
Ooh.
And Xanax. And what are the other ones? Percocet, Xanax, there's another.
Where do you hang out? How do you see people doing this?
For a long time.
In D.C.?
No, you know what they do in D.C.? They smoke boats. They smoke skippers out here.
What is that?
If you take a Newport 100 and dip it in embalming fluid.
Oh, that just sounds sick. How is our ATP coming out, JC? Have we gotten any luck on locking down a Negro?
We got one in sight.
We have one.
We got one in sight. We're a little elusive, but give me a few minutes more.
Okay, what is his issue?
He doesn't have a pair of these sneakers if you can't find
them. What is his
issue? Well, that's just it. Finding out about he wants a pair badly. He plans on getting
he
one.
He does want a pair badly. Okay, so he's being elusive. Is he having a problem with actually calling in on the show?
That and he's kind of a little tied up.
He's kind of what?
But he's a little tied up, but he actually not locked up, but tied up. But I'm trying to get him to put aside 10 minutes for me.
Okay, see what it is that you can do. Let me know. We will interrupt our broadcast.
We have radar.
Yes, we will break away from whatever it is we were doing, to get this breaking news story to the people. That's right.
Okay.
We will find out. We will break into whatever it is that we're doing to come up with this breaking news story. Negroes, glow-in-the-dark sneakers, $200 right here on Reese on the Radio. I promise you, we'll break into anything it is that we're talking about to get the information as to what is compelling Negroes to spend this kind of money for some glow-in-the-dark sneakers. Anyway, some other entertainment news that I saw here. I'm just scrolling down to everything. I'm just going on the old regular site, so I could just, you know, I'm finding out all the news there. This is the young lady who actually says that her phone was snatched. Show you a picture of her. Where I come from, that's a bugaboo. This is
that's not a very good
thing. Oh, it's a trifling Negro who's upset.
Where can I find this?
Oh, go to TMZ.com and scroll down on the first page. There is a picture and even a video where the young woman is screaming about Chris Brown snatching her phone.
A 56-second video that says exclusive.
Yes, and it is an exclusive 56-second video of the girl who says she got her phone snatched. Bitch! I don't even know this story, but I'm about to read it for the first time, so I promise you I will be delicate because it is of a delicate nature. Lucy Lawless, who played Xena, the warrior princess, is learning the hard way bathrooms are off limits when you've illegally boarded an oil tanker and refused to leave in hopes of preventing Arctic drilling. Oh, she's one of those broads?
Oh,
and now I hate her. I used to like this broad. Anyway, fortunately, the Xena actress has found another way to relieve herself during the freezing cold protest on the top of the tanker with the Greenpeace people. Now I hate her.
Wait, and she's peeing in a bottle.
That's correct. That's right.
To reach for the Gatorade.
That's correct.
Look at this. That's like a regular. We're looking at a picture of her holding the pee bottle in her hand.
Why do you keep using the word pee? Can you use urine?
Urine. Oh my goodness.
That is a water bottle, actually, that
it
she is
a
urinating
water bottle.
In.
And how do you, as a man, I can see maybe you getting that in.
But as a girl, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You're out there protesting oil drilling.
Who's holding that for you?
She's holding it herself.
There's no way.
She's Xena.
I don't care if she's Xena the Princess Warrior, not Xena the Pee-Pee Warrior.
Sources close to Lucy Lawless say that she's still in good spirits after spending her first cold and windy night on the ship and doesn't plan to leave anytime soon. As previously reported, Lucy knows she'll be arrested the second she sets foot from the ship, but she says it's worth it to save the delicate ecosystem in the Arctic. No proof that the Arctic system is delicate, but she's out there.
Is she saving the ecosystem by carrying around
people? I hate her right now.
What is wrong? I mean,
does she not know? You know, do you know that according to, does she know that ecologists say that even our own carbon dioxide that we exhale is polluting the world? Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that it is.
Moving right along. Could you put that on vibrate? Thank you. I appreciate it. Anyway, Eva Longoria, I don't know what that's about. Well, that's an interesting dress of Eva Longoria. Yes, I didn't see it before. Desperate Housewives star Eva Longoria bordered on having a wardrobe malfunction as she left the restaurant Beso. It's her restaurant, pardon me, Beso, which means kiss. I know that.
It does.
That's right. That's what they did.
Correcto.
Anyway, whatever. In Hollywood last night, she's barely wearing a little black dress
this isn't an important story. We are moving on.
You can see this dress, ladies. It is absolutely
whatever.
Beautiful.
Yeah, whatever. Now, I didn't see this picture, and when I did, I was stunned. Lamar Odom's dad is looking really sick.
But, no, he's a drug addict.
Oh, is he?
Yes, I told you that.
What kind of drugs is he on?
I think he's smoking crack. I mean, he has...
Mary. Crack is what?
Not for Lamar Odom's dad, it ain't.
Are you serious?
Asking your son to order Chinese food for you from California, and you still in New York.
Anyway, Lamar Odom's father says that he is not gravely ill and was only suffering from a stomach virus earlier this week. He said he's grateful that his famous son would skip an NBA game to be by his side, which is, I heard about that. Joe Odom, which is Lamar Odom's father's name, was out in L.A. yesterday and explained that he stayed with him all night, just kicking it and whatnot.
And that's exactly how he is. Joe Odom is your Negro.
Yeah, he said, but everything is good, and I feel a lot better. The Mavs were scheduled to play the Lakers that night. Lamar Odom's former team, of course. But Lamar was excused for what the team called a family matter. Lamar's had a pretty tumultuous relationship with his dad. The two were estranged for years due to Joe's heroin addiction. Heroin. Why you do heroin? I don't know what that is. This was actually an interesting story because it's only been probably, what, 2 months?
Denied freedom.
That's right. Dr. Conrad Murray, the man who has been convicted for the involuntary manslaughter of Michael Jackson, his plea was shot down for the judge, denying him bail while he appeals his manslaughter conviction. During today's hearing, Judge Michael Pastor found Murray is still a flight risk because he does not have any significant property or family ties in Los Angeles. Judge Pastor also believes that Murray is in danger to society. Oh, he's a danger to society. I thought he was a danger in society. But apparently he's a danger to society. Citing the NBC documentary in which Murray fails to show any remorse on Michael Jackson's death. Pastor said, it scares me that Murray believes it's okay to use propofol in a home setting and insist he could pose a danger for the safety of other people if he were released. Murray had previously filed a motion asking for bail so he could spend time with his family while he awaits the outcome of his appeal. Murray is hoping to overturn his manslaughter conviction. It's involuntary manslaughter. It's not manslaughter. On the grounds that he never had a chance to prove Michael killed himself due to stress, among other reasons. Ugh, that's sick.
Wow.
Murray's appellate attorney, Valerie Waas, says she believes that Murray is a scapegoat. And I don't know about that, but I don't believe
it. Where is she from?
What's that?
Where's Dr. Conrad Murray from?
I don't know, but you know he's got to be, he's, I don't want to call it a third world country, but I believe he's Caribbean.
Really?
Yeah, with a name like Conrad, we don't normally name black people Conrad. You know, they get names like that. You know, the West Indies always get names like Conrad and Trevor, Clinton. They always get those names.
Yeah, Trevor.
Trevor.
Hmm.
But they're saying he has no family ties and he wants to spend time with his family. He doesn't have family ties in L.A.
Okay.
What do you
he's
got?
From he's from, no, this is Conrad Murray.
Where's
he's
from
Granada.
Is he from Granada?
Yeah.
Oh.
Why isn't this man already walking free?
What do you mean, why is he already? Whoa, you have to explain that one to me, Jay.
I forever have always believed that Granada has some kind of hold over the United States.
No. It was a weekend war back in the 80s, man. It was nothing.
Okay. No. But when the wars jumped off, I think it was the first one with, what's his name? Colin Powell.
Right, Grenada?
Prior to the war. Huh?
Yeah, in Grenada? Go ahead.
Yeah, he goes spend some time in Grenada. It's like every time this country get ready to go to war under Bush, somebody goes to Grenada.
Grenada was under Reagan.
No. That was the war. This is during the Bush administration.
Which Bush? Herbert Walker?
No, George W.
When did we go to war with Grenada under George W.?
No, we didn't go to war. Every time we go to war with another country, be it Afghanistan or Iran, he'd always end up in Jamaica and over in Grenada.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Colin Powell, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
And I'm like, Grenada's got some. Either we're hiding something over there, or somebody over there. Not, that's just the conspiracy theorist in me, it's something with that country. I remember one day, how dare the United States? I'm even ashamed to say we went to war on that one.
What, in Grenada? We'll wait for him.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're talking about Grenada.
Yeah.
And listen, it was a weekend war. How did John Amos said what is it? Die Hard 2. One day a firefighter, another day I don't even remember how he put it. He put it some way.
Who did we go to war with?
With the Grenadians. The rebels. I don't remember who we went to war with. It was.
I was going to say, what were they armed with? Slingshots?
I think they were. Of course he was. Anyway, Bobby and Whitney are back in the news again. And this,
I thought you were going to say they're back together.
No, they're back in the news again. Wow, that was funny. Whitney Houston's eulogist, who is Marvin Wayans, as many people remember, he dropped some wisdom of biblical proportion. Marvin Wayans. Wayans, Wynans, who cares? Anyway, of biblical proportions on Bobby Brown in an attempt to settle the ongoing feud with the Whitney Houston family. Pastor Marvin Wynans flew into LAX yesterday, and when he was asked about Bobby getting booted from the funeral, he said, what I know is Bobby did really love Whitney, and Whitney really loved Bobby. Marvin added he knows most issues can't be resolved in 20 minutes. And he said that they were, says Whitney's death can teach everyone, especially Bobby, an important lesson. So, you know, whatever. I don't know what lesson that's supposed to teach us. Don't do crack. That's the best I can
do. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. By the way, this has been circulating.
I mean, I wonder if he's ministering to his brother who's running around with Diddy still.
I mean, he better be.
Mario.
He better be. Hey, this is actually some scary news. Now, we're all football fans. Well, okay, two-thirds of us are football fans here. JC's just getting back into the fold.
I love this idea.
Let's just kill it
in one fell swoop.
Look, listen to me. This
yes.
would be the worst idea ever.
I'm
going to
start a website tomorrow.
And I'm a fan.
I'm going to start a website tomorrow in favor of it.
Apparently, Weird Al Yankovic is suddenly the fan frontrunner to perform at next year's Super Bowl halftime show. But, you know, I don't know. But the point is, they are suggesting that Weird Al should be the person that performs. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think he's as funny as he used to be. I don't know. I just don't know. And if it happens, I don't know. And I just don't know. It's scary, but I hope this doesn't happen. I just hope it doesn't happen. And I'm a fan.
Apparently, Hollywood hasn't learned from Whitney Houston.
Sorry?
Hollywood hasn't learned from the Whitney Houston situation or incident. Scroll down just a tiny bit.
What? You want me to scroll down? I'm actually on this DMX story.
You're on DMX?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was on Brooke Mueller.
Oh, no, I'm not caring about her.
Oh, my God. Let's talk about Brooke Mueller because I just read that story, and I can't believe it.
I knew this girl was crazy. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it from the moment she... That chick is nuts. And they're releasing her. She's a danger to herself. She's a danger to her child. She's a danger to her baby's daddy. We all have seen that on TV from one time to another. Now she's on drugs. What kind of drugs is she on?
They say she's got busted for cocaine possession.
She did lose a whole lot of weight.
I don't know anything about all that. Hey, this is an interesting story. In New York at my old station, Power 105, rapper DMX showed up, apparently, and he didn't have nice words to say about rapper Drake. They're saying that he was in New York and said he unloaded on the rapper, claiming, "I don't like anything about Drake. I don't like his voice. I don't like what he talks about. I don't like his face. I don't like the way he walks. I don't like his haircut." DMX doesn't elaborate on the source of his hatred, but insists he's cool with Drake's mentor, Lil Wayne. DMX also bashes Rick Ross, and I can't stand Rick Ross. DMX, you got me. I got your back, buddy. Saying that he talks about eating too much. Too much. He said,
how much can
I grow eat? Absolutely classic. Well, you know, he was doing worse than that, old DMX. And I can tell you some stories, because I don't know whether or not you know, I used to be his publicist.
Yeah, I
used to be his publicist back at, at least I worked for the firm that we did publicity for him. I'm not taking any responsibility for his actions. But, yeah, he was in Chicago working on one of his last albums back in 2002. And let's just say that he had to be picked up on Chicago streets quite often, if you get my meaning. Yeah, he was a tear. He was on a tear in Chicago when he was recording. So, I don't know. So, I just like the fact that he's being so honest. If, you know, he's a musician. He's an artist. He's had... Well, yeah. Absolutely. Yep. So, bottom line is that, you know, hey, look, you know, I'm not a fan of Rick Ross either. So, you know, I have my own personal reasons, but, you know, what are you going to do? Anyway, all right, when we come back, hopefully we've got no luck on hunting down this Negro.
Nothing.
Michael Lohan turns down Burger King job for a Florida radio gig.
Yeah, I would have done that.
In a heartbeat.
Why was he having to apply for a Burger King job anyway?
He's running out of money. He's broke.
So you both of them, come on.
Yeah, he's broke. He was absolutely broke.
Delivery guy?
No, I don't think. Yeah, probably. He was going to be a Burger King delivery guy. Hey, he got a radio gig. More power to him. I'm happy for him. You go there, boy. I got you. I got you. Mary's hating. I'm not hating. Well, look. Some people are lucky. I got you, Michael. Don't worry about it. They can hate. I got to. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California Hot Tub Rectal Gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
And what do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
Support my I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois. It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday. Happy birthday!
Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves, because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Hey, I'm a little man. It's for the soul. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on. Tune in. And drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Oh! Oh! Yeah!
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
We're back at Reese on the Radio, live on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. Number's 347-308-8701. A story that caught my attention, there were two of them, and I'm going to get the second story in a second, but they both are sort of related. A Texas judge by the name of Tanya Parker says that she could... Oh, I'm sorry. I got some audio screaming in the background. I apologize. That's not you. That's me. That's not you. That's me. Give me a second. I apologize. Get down. Come on. This is so horrible when I get technical difficulties. I got audio playing in the back of my, in the back. So I got to pause that. There we go. I'm sorry. Anyway, this Texas judge, again, her name is Tanya Parker. She is a Texas judge. And she says that she cannot legally marry a woman in her state. So she refuses to perform any marriage ceremonies until there is equality. She says it. She finds it an oxymoronic to perform a ceremony that cannot be performed for her. She's an openly gay judge. She told a group of Stonewall Democrats of Dallas at a meeting on Tuesday that when she turns a couple away, she uses it as an opportunity to teach them a lesson about marriage equality.
Why would she be needing to teach them a message?
There you go.
What? That doesn't even make any sense. You can't use your position in being in the court as a marketing tool for your gayness.
This is another what I call...
I mean, and I'm not against the gays. But you can't do that. It doesn't even, that's oxymoronic. You cannot do that.
Does a judge not understand that their job is to serve the people?
Obviously they don't.
They don't. See, that's...
Well, they are serving the people, but they're serving the people what they want to serve the people.
That's right. They're serving one group of people in this case.
No, they're serving what they want to serve.
No, they're serving one group of people in this case. And again, telling people that she's teaching people a lesson, that's not your job. Your job is to uphold the law.
And the law is, if I have a marriage license and the person that is on the marriage license with me comes in here, you need to marry us.
But that's not the way the gays see it.
Not only that, we're judges and they come to marriage. Mm-hmm. They basically marry who they want to. There's not a higher court in the state that says, oh, this judge has to marry you. All she has to do is refer you to another judge.
Well, she does. She does claim. Now, she never ever says that she doesn't refer to people as to another judge.
But she just chooses not to do any marriages at all.
But mm-hmm. at the same time, she's trying to teach this heterosexual couple a lesson.
Still her prerogative.
As if to say...
Still her prerogative.
That it is these heterosexual couples that are getting in her way of marrying her homosexual partner.
No, she just said she'd rather choose not to.
Well, this is actually going to be an interesting thing because I didn't see this when I heard the story earlier. I just went to ABC's website. This is going to be funny. And funny in the sense of it's funny, uh-oh, not funny, ha-ha. This is funny, uh-oh. Ms. Parker is apparently the first LGBT person elected as a judge in Dallas, and she's believed to be the first openly LGBT African-American to be elected as an official in the state's history, and that's according to the Dallas Voice, which is a gay publication.
She's gorgeous, too.
You need to see. That's a picture, my man. I saw the video. She's not the same woman. She's aged.
That's really?
Yes. See the video, my man. Not the same woman. That the woman in that picture is 20 years younger.
Whoa.
Yeah. Go see the video. And the audio, I was going to play the audio today, but the audio is horrible. Anyway, let me get to this point. Parker described examples of discrimination in the courtroom that she has seen and been able to stop. She once heard a case involving a man who allegedly molested a young boy in which a participant used the terms homosexual and child molester interchangeably. When a man molests a little girl, people don't call him heterosexual, Parker said in the video. So when this man molests a little boy, assuming the allegations to be true, you are not going to stand in my courtroom and call him a homosexual.
Oh my God.
Another example she gave was the Texas Supreme Court's jury instruction that dictates that jurors cannot discuss the case with their husbands or wives. Well, I might have modified it a little bit, she said. And she said, do not discuss this case with your husband, your wife, or your partner. I don't even think that's necessary. If you're gay and you refer to your partner as your husband
or your wife,
I think you've covered all grounds, right?
Exactly.
Yes. You see, I love it when it just...
But gays can't get married, so she has to refer to them as...
She said that these are small ways of making her point, but she believes it's important to go out of her way to do things that others in the LGBT community might not be able to do, like break the law. Those are my words, not hers.
Because they're not in her position of power.
Yes.
Abuse of the position of power.
That's right. They are not in her position of power. Very
couples.
Well,
not marry any couples.
That's right.
She's the non-marrying judge.
Yeah, but the bottom line is that you are not supposed to use your position to advance the rights of any certain group.
Especially when those rights are of your own personal...
That's right.
Ways.
That's right.
You're infringing, you're imposing your personal beliefs on the public.
That's correct.
No, but on the same token, even if she wasn't and said, I still don't want to do weddings, they can't force her.
That's That's fine.
Well, no,
but,
I don't have an argument with that.
That's
but her
fine,
reasoning is a breach of law.
But she has given her reason. This is her.
Stop hating.
No, JC,
you can't. Nobody's hating. Bottom line is that look. What she's supposed to be is fair and impartial. Is that right? As an officer of the law,
sitting on the bench, right?
Sitting on the bench,
fair and impartial.
Exactly, fair and impartial. But she's not being fair and impartial. She's saying until gay people can get married, I'm not marrying anybody. I'm transferring them over to somebody else, and I'm trying to teach people how to be a certain way. You're supposed
and
to be impartial. Your personal beliefs mean nothing. You are supposed to follow the law. Even if you don't like the law, you are supposed to follow the law.
And it's not just
the letter of the law while she's on the bench.
JC.
And being under somebody's archway of flowers,
people go into the court to get married, JC.
She is openly admitting that when she's on the bench, she is pushing her own brand of justice.
And when she's on the bench, JC, if you listen to the whole story, she did this in cases. It wasn't just in cases of marriage. She went on and on and on about how she addressed this gentleman or these people in court that were accusing the defendant
of being
a homosexual because they molested a little boy, and she was not going to allow that type of language in her court. Well, why not?
I had that same argument with my mom.
She's a homosexual, and that's why she's saying that, because if she wasn't a homosexual, she wouldn't have given a damn that they called him a homosexual, but she's so offended by the word homosexual. That's what you are. That's who you're proud to be. So what is the problem?
Because in our court system,
people may construe that homosexuals frequently molest little boys.
But you're right. She didn't want that staple. She didn't want that attached to her homosexuality. She did not want...
Well, she can't change people's
feelings. She can't. Go ahead.
But on the same token, in our court system, where everything you say come under scrutiny, just because he's a male who likes or molests little boys doesn't necessarily make him a homosexual. It makes him a child molester.
Well, say that again.
Because he's a male that molests little boys doesn't make him a homosexual. It makes him a child molester.
I know
that.
We
understand
that,
JC. I'm not saying that. But she does not have a right to impose her personal beliefs when she is sitting in a court of law on the bench presiding on a case. You can't do that. She only did that because of her sexual orientation.
How about this part? Let's read a quote from her. This is a quote. "I do not and would never impede any person's right to get married," Parker wrote. "In fact, when people wander into my courtroom, usually while I am presiding over other matters, I direct them to the judges in the courthouse who will perform marriage ceremonies." That is a contradiction to what she just said. She openly admitted she refuses to marry straight couples until gays get the equal right. So in essence, what she's saying, I do not never impede. An impediment is to create an obstacle. And if someone comes to you and you will not perform their marriage and you have to send them to someone else, you are impeding them. You're not stopping them, but you are serving as an impediment.
Well, but that's crazy. Now, after she makes that statement, this is the next statement she makes. "I do this because I believe in the right of people to marry and pursue happiness."
Well, how is she doing that?
She's saying I do it because if all people can't get married, then I'm not marrying anybody, and we all deserve, regardless of your sexual orientation, deserve to get married to pursue happiness.
Well, here's another oxymoron, she says. Parker said in the video that her goal is, as a judge, is to make sure laws are applied equally to everyone who comes to court, that we take the opportunity to put issues on people's radar. That's not your job. That might not otherwise be there. That's not your job.
You need to become a politician.
Yes, exactly. Your job is to follow the letter of the law. And if the law says that they cannot be married, follow the letter of the law.
Well, okay, now that I agree with that. I fully understand that. But her refusing to marry people in general, period, I mean, you can't make her, because until there's a law that states that she has to, then she's not breaking the law legally or morally.
Stacey, stop it. Because now
there
you're
is no law.
Listen,
there
you're
no
beating
law.
A dead horse, because we understand that already. So get off of it. We comprehend that. We got the freaking point. You're not getting the point. That she
the point is
right.
Nothing's going to happen of it. You could sit there and talk about
happen.
It until you're blue in the
I
face. It ain't going to change.
You want to make another bet?
What she's doing, okay, here's the point. Should she be sitting on the bench, JC? I understand you applaud that she's taking a stand, but her position doesn't give her the right to do so. She's talking about what her personal position is. What her personal position is of no, I have no qualms with that. Her personal position is her own, and she has every right to do that.
But that's so outside of the court in her own personal life.
When she's in that courtroom, right, when she's in that courtroom, she must abide by the law, and she's
well,
not.
That's understood. Okay, I fully understand. Now, until someone comes forward and state or show that she's got complaints against her for her not being for her being impartial on the bench.
This story,
then,
JC, people are going to come
JC,
forward.
She's open. I mean, right now,
she's
she is open.
It.
She's already admitted. Right now, she's liable. She's openly admitted.
And I'm sure this has been going on for a while.
Oh, absolutely. They're going to ask her to be removed from the bench. She's got to lose her job. She's got to lose her job.
Nobody's going to vote her back in.
No, she's got to be resigned. Resigned. Go out there.
She's in the wrong profession.
Exactly. Get out there on the trenches and fight for your right to have gay marriage. But get off the bench, because if there's any sign of bestiality on any part of, as a judge, the fact that she openly admits it, she's got to go.
And I don't say what I say because, I give her props. That's going to promote equality for everyone. I believe in equality for people too, but you can't use your place of power to impose on the rest.
I don't see where she's using, where she's abusing any power. She's just refusing to marry people. That's not abusing them any power.
She says it right in her own story. She has to do what she can do for her people because she is in a place of power where most people are not.
That's exactly. Her own words. Her own words. She's in a position of power. So therefore, she is using her power to forge an agenda. This is what the gay mafia does all the time, man. This is what they do.
This is what any mafia does for any group. It's not just about gay. It's about everybody. Everybody that has these segregated groups, we do the same crap all the time, over and over and over again.
But she has to be. She has to be removed from the bill, regardless. She's got to be.
And
anyway,
the first LGBT.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
She'll be the first She'll be the first Black LGBT and the last Black LGBT to ever be put on the bench after this crap.
Well, she's never ever be again. No judge should ever be agenda based. This is the problem with Supreme Court judges.
With society.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you, a bleeding heart tonight on Friday night? You're a bleeding heart, JC. I mean,
No, it's not as a bleeding heart, but it's like, I just don't see where she's doing anything wrong.
Well, wait. So you don't think that she's doing anything wrong?
You don't see what she, you don't see that she's using her own personal beliefs to impose on other people's lives in the place of power that she's in because she can do that?
What person has ever walked in and
herself, JC.
You can't walk into any judge and say, you're going to marry me. I don't want that judge to marry me. I want you to marry me.
James tonight?
It's not going to happen.
JC, should we be calling you Kool-Aid Man tonight?
No.
You're not getting the point. We understand.
No, I do get the point. I just don't agree with it. You can't get me to.
But you're not agreeing with a point that we're not arguing your point. I'm not arguing your point. I understand that if you don't want to perform a marriage, you don't have to. I understand that she's not breaking any law by doing that. But the reason why, and the reason...
Wait a minute. So she's not breaking any laws, but have her thrown off the bench.
No, I didn't say that. I said, I understand your point, is that if you decide that you don't want to perform a marriage, you don't have to. There is no law stating that you have to perform that marriage. What I'm saying to you is there is a law that you cannot be in a seat of power like that and impose your own personal life and your own personal beliefs on the public, and that is the reason behind why she is not performing those marriages. You see that point. I don't have to make it to you because she made it to you in black and white. There's a video. Check it out. She says it in her own words. I mean, I don't understand what you're not understanding.
When they toss her off the bench, when they toss her off the bench for it, or come up with a law to toss her off the bench for it, if they don't make one up, then they're wrong.
They don't have to make one up. She's already said it herself. She's breaking the law because she's not doing it for her own personal reasons.
Hold on,
JC.
Hold on, JC. I want you to hear this one. This one probably goes better.
All right, so listen.
Hold on, your volume's low.
Has called her hairdresser. Heather's in the control room with more on that story. Heather.
That's right, Antoinette. The governor's position on this issue has actually lost her a hairstylist. As you said, Antonio Darden has done the governor's hair 3 times, but he says he's tired of her opposition to gay marriage.
The governor's aide called not too long ago wanting another appointment to come in. Because of her stances and her views on this, I told her aides no. They called the next day asking if I changed my mind about taking the governor in, and I said no again.
Antonio says gay couples don't have the same rights that married couples have. He says he's determined to fight, even if it means losing an important customer.
So here was a hairdresser in New Mexico.
This is a hairdresser in New Mexico.
And because the governor is against gay marriage, he was her hairdresser. Now he said, and I wish I had the video or the audio.
And she turns around and says that it's okay because she's got plenty more hairdressers.
Yeah, exactly.
There's plenty more gays out there that'll do my hair, though. Don't worry about it.
But
because they want money. They don't care about no rights.
Yes,
they want
exactly.
their money.
Exactly.
They want their money. I'm doing the governor's hair. They want their prestige.
And you're doing that's marketing. I mean, hello.
Absolutely.
You may be a good.
And there are plenty of other judges that will marry you.
Oh, hold my on. God. We're not even talking about that. JC, we had you on mute. Be quiet.
JC, unfortunately, we had you on mute. I couldn't even hear you. Say it again.
I said, and just like she could sit up there in the bench and be like, honey, there are plenty other judges that'll marry you. Move on out my damn courtroom.
No, JC.
And snap her finger as they walk.
JC.
I cannot believe you're on the wrong side of this issue, JC.
I mean,
I'm not.
I really don't think that I am.
You are astonishing the hell out of me tonight. I cannot believe you're on that side of the issue.
You're like a
you
changed person.
You believe that? Yeah, I mean, no, it's not so much about a changed person. That I mean, I thought he understood. I mean, I would have thought that JC, you would have believed to uphold the law is the supersedes everything. To uphold.
Find me a law that's broken.
The law is that you cannot. One more time, and I'm not saying it again. The law is that you cannot be in a seat of power
mm-hmm.
as a judge
mm-hmm.
and impose or impede on the public your personal opinion. Yes,
mm-hmm.
for marriage because your ass is tired and you don't feel like performing that marriage, okay, that's fine. I'm sorry, move on to Judge Schwartz down in 101B. This is 101A and it's nap time. But you cannot impose your personal ways of life on the public.
In a position of power.
The reason why she's doing that is so that she can teach other couples, heterosexual couples, a lesson. And why it is so important that they fight for gay rights as well. If your ass wants to come in my courtroom and be married, you better be out there with the sign, with the rest of my people.
What
don't you comprehend? She says it in her own words. It's not like we're putting words in her mouth or we're making up this story. She says it.
No, I know you're not. Come on. I know you're not. But
well,
I, again, on the same token.
Get on the bus or get hit by the bus, buddy. That's what I got to tell you.
Wait a minute.
There
so
is no law that says she can that they can stop her from doing what she's doing.
But there is
a
law.
It's called the Constitution,
my there
man.
Is a law that states that when you impede your own personal beliefs, I'm saying it again, I can't believe it.
Yes, you're saying that she didn't break any laws. Sure she did. She broke the Constitution.
And she said it herself. It's not like she said, I'm just not performing any marriages because I don't feel like it this week. She said, I'm not doing it because I'm teaching your dumb heterosexual ass to lesson.
Yes.
And I need your help so that I can marry my woman at home. Damn it.
I don't think she said all that.
Was she given the right to do so?
Oh, she's not
no,
given
she's
the right.
No, she's not. As a
judge,
you
ought
not.
To uphold the law. She doesn't have any rights.
And the
only right she has is to uphold the law. There's a difference. As a private citizen, what we do when we hire judges is judges.
Okay, no. See that's just it. You keep saying uphold the law. Nobody's breaking the law.
Sure, I just told you she is. Any time when she has an agenda,
dude,
an agenda,
listen,
the Constitution.
She's imposing her personal
beliefs in a position of power.
She is.
And because she has a position of power, maybe. It wasn't a bright idea for her to do that, being in a position of power.
JC, she's
however,
JC, she is negating her responsibilities as a judge.
Oh, wow.
And she's openly admitting it in public that what she does on the stand is put her own justice. She's literally exalting her own brand of justice against heterosexuals for the rights of homosexuals. And that is not what a judge is supposed to do. You have to uphold the law. There is nothing about agenda.
And there's no law that says she has to marry anybody if she chooses.
There is a law that says that you cannot impose your personal...
You still can't make her marry. Even if she took it back and said, I'm sorry, you still can't make her marry. You can't make her marry two horses. You can't make her marry two turtles. You can't make her marry. She doesn't want to marry.
Let's move on.
And there's no law that says that she has to marry anybody.
Okay, you're right, JC. You
that part you're right about.
You got it, Bill. You
JC,
got it. You got it.
He was so right. JC, you're just so right.
if she doesn't want to marry nobody, she doesn't have to marry anybody.
Oh, we got
okay,
it.
Okay, can we move on now?
We're just moving on. We'll take a break for a minute, you guys.
Does she have veins in her forehead?
No, actually, she doesn't.
Oh.
That's interesting that you would say that.
No,
there's no vein on her forehead. We'll be back.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reset on the Radio, and if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day, and we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" Was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me and was like... He didn't even talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like... So my dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, oh, my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us. We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letter.
They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport.
You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know it was black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, hello? We have got five black... Hello?
Hey, guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
It's Reese on the radio, and we are back here live on We're going to try to do, and we hope you are as well. I don't know anything about that. Yeah, we'll try to tell you about it on Monday. Anyway, we do a lot of promos and stuff like that. We've got to go visit a studio in right here in the D.C. area. We'll be checking them out. Look, I'm not going to give you any info about it, but, you know, I'm not going to use the word hounding. They're actually very interested in me checking out this studio to possibly broaden the Reese on the Radio brand. We'll see what it is, and I will tell you guys about it on Monday.
To go terrestrial.
Yeah, whatever. The point is that it's an opportunity to explore the brand and to expand the brand. So we'll see what it is that we do. Hopefully, we'll get an opportunity to do that. Excuse me. I can't. You know, nothing bothers me more than just wanting to actually call me while I'm on the air. That drives me up the wall when I'm bothered when I'm on the air.
Well, some could say just turn your phone off and you wouldn't know.
Yeah, I guess that would be the case. You know what, JC, do me a favor if you can. I know what I'm getting a message about now. I just got a message. Somebody says that we're not broadcasting.
We're not broadcasting?
Yeah, somebody said that something's up with the broadcast. How can we not be broadcast? You want to double check?
Yeah.
All you have to do is just, I'll have to do right now if I needed to. And when I get messages, no, you don't have to check that way. You can check just by doing this. You can check. When someone tells me what the broadcast and they can't find it, it's probably your internet connection, not mine. You need to get off that wacky
dial up
yeah, exactly.
No, the show's on the air, and the show's broadcasting live right now. So, I can, I'm looking right at it. In fact, hold on, let me just double check real quick. I'm all certain that I can go right to the broadcast itself, and I'll definitely hear that somebody is. See, I know that we're live on the air. They can hear it. See, there it is. It's right in the background right now. And watch, you're going to hear my voice going doubly over. Only 25 minutes remaining in the show. Sorry, we're just checking out.
Yeah, that. You're there. You're there.
Yeah, I know I'm there. I know that they can hear me. See, I can hear myself right now. I'm going to see how much of a I'm on.
Yeah.
See, there you go.
That's a long delay.
Yeah, it's a pretty long delay. It's supposed to be. You never know what it is you knuckleheads
want to
say.
Wasn't it Judge Parker?
Yes, yes, that's the woman's name, Judge Parker. But I
that's
right,
honey. We here, we queer, we not going nowhere, girl.
I want to talk about my favorite white woman in the world, and she's been out of the press for a long time. Now, you see, you don't know this, Mary, but I love this woman. This is the salt of the earth right here. This is the most beautiful white woman in the world. Want to know why?
Because she's stupid.
That's right. She's blonde, she's dumb, she's heavy. That's what I love about her. And her name is Jessica Simpson. Oh, no, no, she was heavy before she got pregnant.
She was not heavy.
Yes, she was.
No,
she put
she
on
wasn't.
Some weight.
She, yeah, she had put on some
that's
weight.
That's right, before she got pregnant. She was voluptuous. Bubbly.
Voluptuous is not heavy.
But voluptuous is big, like Marilyn Monroe.
Curvy.
Not big.
Marilyn Monroe was a size 16.
Yeah, but Marilyn Monroe, she was thickened.
But Marilyn Monroe
well.
Was thick.
Yeah, but that's not heavy.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend. I wouldn't have given her a damn thing.
But.
Oh, yeah. But that. You're so nasty.
She would have been number 32.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, Jessica Simpson says that it will be amazing to see herself with a waistline and that she watches herself on a premiere of a new reality show called Fashion Star. Poor girl. The 31-year-old pregnant singer. Who's been who has her own clothing lines, serves as mentor on an aspiring fashion show that's going to be starting on March 13th. She says that she calls herself a big blob, and I guess that's important for people to put out into the news. But I miss her. I miss, oh, look at her. Damn, that's her. Woo!
Where?
Oh, I'm on, what am I on? OnTheRedCarpet.com. /Jessica Simpson-who is pregnant. Something like that. Just look that up. There's a picture of her. Yeah, I guess on theredcarpet.com. Now, I'm looking at the picture of her and her husband. Her husband's a good looking guy. What else? Her finance? Is that her finance? as they say, what's the name of that movie? Oh, Raising Arizona. That's her finance. Anyway, she looks great pregnant. Look at that chubby white girl. And the knees are humongous. I love it. JC, are you looking at her picture? Am I losing JC too?
No, I'm on my way.
Oh, look at these pictures. You got to see her knees. She is glowing. She got the hair coming down to her shoulders. Probably extensions, but I don't care. I don't care about that. I'll protect those extensions. I'll protect them. That fine white woman right there. I give anything for that. Anything. I will hop on one leg. I love that big white woman. I love her. And you can say that she's dumb. She's just...
She's acting dumb. She's really not dumb.
I don't think,
really
that's right.
Down,
I don't think that she's dumb at all.
I think that she's dumb.
I
like Jessica Simpson.
I think that she's brain deficient.
I like her for the same reasons that you men like her, but she's brain deficient. She's not brain deficient. She knows what she needs to do. This works for her.
Right.
It makes her money.
That's right.
She's marketing the dumbness.
And she's giggling. I love it.
The falsity of dumbness.
I love it. Just giggle. Giggle.
Don't say anything.
Is this
giggle.
Chicken? Is this chicken? No, it's tuna, baby. It's tuna. Oh, then why do they call it chicken
of
the sea? How did he get annoyed at that? He would just go, baby.
Well, but he's not the brightest bulb.
No, he's
the...
a moron as well because he
really
left her.
The
but the minute she said that, JC, you know what I'd have said? The minute she'd have said, is this chicken? And he said, no, baby, it's tuna. And why do they call it chicken of the sea? I'd have just said, let's go to bed.
Yes.
I am crazy about you. Let's get in the bed.
So that's what you like, dumb white
women. I don't say I like white women who do dumb things. That was a dumb thing. That doesn't make her dumb. It says chicken of the sea.
She kind of now reminds you of the very early Anna Nicole Smith.
Yes, but see, people didn't understand. It's called chicken of the sea, and she doesn't understand that tuna is the chicken of the sea. She doesn't understand the association,
yes,
that tuna is the chicken of the sea and chicken is the meat of the...
Well, of course she doesn't, because she's not used to eating chicken of the sea. She's used to eating caviar.
But she didn't. Exactly. That's what I love about her. You are a moron. Get in the bedroom. That's what I love.
Wow. Are we really ending this?
This is why I...
She is gorgeous.
She is. She's beautiful.
She is beautiful, but Reese, you're ridiculous. Stop depressing. I'm at a loss for words. I don't...
Hating.
Totally hating.
No, I'm not hating. I think the girl is absolutely beautiful. I like her. I think she's very, very personable. Of course, I have no sexual attraction to her, so I'm not speaking of her.
Why
like
not?
Why? What do you mean, why not? Because, JC, as much as you men want to think that women all have something for another woman,
no,
there is nothing that another woman can do for me.
Okay.
She wasn't...
I mean, why you... Oh, now that I want to say something as the female...
I bet she could.
And now that I want to say something as the female here, it's not okay. But the two of you want to... be needing a napkin to wipe the drool off the side of your freaking mouth. It's so...
You are so hating on my favorite white woman.
I'm not hating on her. I'm hating on the way that the two of you are referring to her.
Do you understand
you're
the Jessica system?
And you're dumb. Listen, lay in the bed because I'm really going to give it to you.
No. I didn't say I was going to give it to you. I just said get in the bedroom.
No,
and the best part about it, I put any amount of money in Jessica Simpson's right now, sitting at home. Barefoot. I'll put any amount of money on it.
I'm sure she is.
That's
I've seen
right.
her probably too small to fit in any of her shoes. She's probably got gout.
That's you listen to this hate. Jessica, I love you.
Jessica, you can have gout and still be beautiful, baby. You're pregnant. You have a life growing inside of you. Anything right now.
You know what? Mine will always be Britney.
Yeah, you like Britney too? I love train wreck Britney.
I'm sure
freshly shaved?
Again.
Oh, no, not shaving. No, not bald. Just I loved her when she was straight up train wreck.
You didn't love Sinead O'Connor Britney?
No. Sinead O'Connor Britney. That was way too far for me. That was call the police Britney.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't.
That was called a mental institution to get this brought into a rubber room.
Because if she and I were together and she had that umbrella trying to bash through the window, that's called the police, Brittany. That's what she was.
Well, with your views, yeah, she probably would be trying to bash the window
in. There was cutesy Brittany with the hit me baby one more time. Then there was...
That was jailbait Brittany.
Yeah, jailbait Brittany, exactly. Jailbait Brittany. Then it
was... That was fun girl.
No. She was jailbait then. Then there was the red leather outfit, Brittany. That was. I'm trying.
Oops, I did it again, Brittany.
Oops, I did it again. She's trying too hard to be sexy, Brittany. Right? And then it was Brittany. I'm slumming it. No, slumming it, Brittany, because that's when she got involved with Kevin Federline. That was slumming it.
Brittany. You know where my Brittany started?
No. Go ahead.
With slaves.
Oh, I'm a slave for you. No. Remember that's post Kevin Federline. That's slumming it, Brittany, because then she's doing songs with the carburetor of fixer of Pharrell. Guy works at Amco.
Double A.
Yes, exactly. As she was working with Pharrell, works at Amco. She was having him produce her records. That was slumming it, Brittany. And then it was pregnant, Brittany, and that was okay, but it was tragedy, Brittany, because she was pregnant. Just like tragedy. It's like, oh, she married and had sex with and gave birth to the slumlord's kid. And that's what it was like. And then it was accident-prone Brittany. You know, kid in the front seat of the car while she's driving, almost tripping on 50th Street and Madison
that was
Avenue.
High,
that was accident prone, Brittany.
That was smash up a Mercedes a week, Brittany.
Yeah, exactly. That was crash car, Brittany.
But I hit your car.
Yeah. Crash car, Brittany.
Crash test dummy, Brittany.
And then lost her mind, Brittany, went to call the police, Brittany, to call the mental institution, Brittany, then rehab, Brittany.
Well, now she's back on top, Brittany.
Yeah, but now. Oh, no. No. Don't forget about bloated Brittany when she did that performance at the MTV Awards.
Oh, dude, I was wondering. That's when she looked her best.
You know what? Everybody else is paying attention to her.
That was depression, Brittany.
Her little Buddha belly.
Yeah.
She was probably on a period or something. Poor thing was bloated. I don't know. But one thing I noticed about her that night when she performed, her nails were messed up. She had like tips on every finger except for like the index finger of the left hand. Like one was broke.
Who paid attention to her nails?
Who noticed that? That's real catty right there.
That's crazy.
Hands. I'm that kind of person. I always have been. I don't know what it is. We talked about this at work at lunch today. I pay attention to people's hands, and I noticed that her nails were done, but there were like two that were broken, one on each hand.
How could you see
so...
that on TV?
Because
high definition wasn't even popular then.
I saw it. I'm telling you, go back and look at the video, and if you pay attention, you'll notice it's just something that I pay attention to. I pay attention to the craziest little details.
That's interesting. Okay, I like detail oriented people.
Now that was the bloated Britney for the return. That was the
That was the bloated return of Britney. Yes.
Yeah, when she was in her outfit, busted, when she, the fat rolls were coming out of her outfit.
Listen, let me explain something to you. Just to let you know, look who's trending on Yahoo. Number one, that's Jessica Simpson. All right?
Oh, yeah, because Yahoo.
Look who she's above. She's above Peyton Manning. Okay?
Well, of course she's above Peyton Manning. He's been hurt all year.
Well, anyway. Hey, the Nike shoe riot is also trending on Yahoo. Cops break up a Nike shoe crowd at a Florida mall. Nike cancels all-star shoe release after a near riot. Can you believe this? It's all over the place, man.
Wow. Coaches,
over a pair of sneakers.
Are these the sneakers?
Hey, my Kate Gosselin is trending as well.
Say that again?
Kate Gosselin.
What about Kate Gosselin?
She's trending. She's hot.
I don't know who this is. Oh, Kate Gosling with the 8 kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
I don't.
She's hot. For someone that gave birth to a litter, yeah, she's hot.
Listen, JC, did you ever watch the show with her and her ex-husband?
I heard she was kind of a bitch.
I
love that about her.
She was a bitch.
Yeah, that's enough to make me unattractive. See, I want to learn that you're a bitch, not see that you're a bitch, cause that would, and then try to date you. Like, I don't want to know that you're a bitch, because that I'm not going to date you if I already know you're a bitch. I'd like you to become a bitch or have me turn you into a bitch.
You're sick. You really are. So that's okay. If I turn you into a bitch, it's okay.
Yeah, then it's my fault.
Or I see that, or you don't show me the real you, and you show me Mary Poppins, and then you turn into no more wire hangers. I mean, I don't get it.
This gives me reason to dump. This is how that works. If you become a bitch. If you're a bitch.
Oh, and that's because you don't deal with commitment well.
No, I deal with commitment. What are you talking about?
So set them up.
Every relationship I've ever had has been a long relationship.
But
I've
a failed one.
Well, every relationship has to fail. I don't have the same friends.
Some only fail. No, and not every relationship has to fail.
Well, they don't have to.
There are relationships that last a lifetime.
Sure they are.
Death do you part.
Yeah, but we're talking about marriage. I'm talking about, you eating.
You've been married before. You're not married anymore.
I understand that, but I'm talking about chicken of the sea, get in the bedroom type of relationships. I'm not talking about meth. Anyway, good night.
Listen.
Go ahead.
Kate Gosselin, the episode that you should have watched was her and Sarah Palin.
Really?
When she went up to,
It was on Sarah Palin's reality show, though, was it?
Right.
That's correct.
Wow, I'll have to look
that up. All right, I had to look that up. I like me some Sarah Palin, by the way.
Yeah, we know.
But not
I like them both.
Oh, come on. All guys.
No,
listen.
No. She's attractive and she knows politics. That's why I find her attractive.
Smart.
I like that. That's what I like about her. I love
now, if
her.
She had been a blonde, if she had been a blonde, it wouldn't have worked.
If she'd have been a blonde, for me, yeah. If she was a blonde, you forget about it. I'd love. That's the reason why I love.
If she was a redhead.
Oh yeah, forget about
no.
it. I wish I could find me a conservative redhead. I can't find one. Every redhead I know is a liberal.
No, my blonde's got to be a little dense.
What's that?
My blonde's got to be a little dense. I like my brunettes smart.
You like your brunettes smart.
Blonde, yeah.
Dense.
Yeah.
Redhead's a fun girl.
I don't know that. I don't believe that.
I guess.
I don't know anything about that. Anyway.
All redheads I know are lesbians.
All the who?
They tend to be lesbians, redheads.
Really? How is he supposed to know just by... You know, we're done. See, this is why we can't have these conversations with a girl. It's why these conversations work with a girl.
Gets low down and dirty like the guys do.
Well, I don't want a, I don't. I listen. I don't. I like when women are demure. I don't like it when they're dangerous and all. You know, whatever. You get my. Anyway, folks.
Well,
it's,
what am I here? What does that have to do with it?
Just saying that I don't need you to be nasty. I need you to be, you know, a girl of reason. I need you to be pure. Pure as the driven snow.
Especially being white.
Yes, and being white. You know, stay white.
You knew.
It works for you.
You've known me for 20.
Stay white. It works for you.
No, it does not. Okay, I'm going to stay white. Okay, we're going to do the rest of the show.
We're going to call it Ted Turner to be colorized this one.
Rude to be interrupting, JC. It is 9:50, and I promise that I am going to be white the rest of the show.
Thank you.
For the next 10 minutes.
We appreciate it.
My God.
Oh, we got our white girl back. Anyway, it's Reese on the Radio, and you know what Fridays is. Friday is the Friday Night Dance Party right here on Reese on the Radio. And I had to play a song by, of course, one of my favorite artists today. And I don't know whether or not he got any burn, but you guys will probably remember this artist. JC, let me know whether or not this guy got any burn with this song up in the Hartford area.
Yeah. Cab Love, Brown Sugar. Trying to set it like, yeah, yeah, y'all, yeah, yeah, y'all, yeah, yeah, y'all. Adjust my mic back, I'll touch it up right quick. Show them how Brooklyn do, you know what I mean? Listen, yo, let's start it up. Let's get it flowing. Let's make a move. Let's get it going. I know it's feeling like everything you want, don't it? And you've been waiting your whole life for one moment. Well, baby, here it is. You better step to it. I know you're ready, right? Then, baby, let's do it. Let's move your neck to it. Put your arms and legs next to it. Then put whatever else is left to it. See, you're all in. Now you're about to rock them. Got your focus, man. Now they got a problem. Who you talking to? Some right there. The man in the mirror. I see him. Quite clear, do your thing, Cap.
Yeah,
work it out, dog. Open
out.
Up their minds,
open
be
up.
About yours. Silence everyone who ever tried to doubt yours. Get your mind right, keep your sound raw.
Sound
heavy
raw.
Bass, man.
Bass,
make
man.
It bounce more.
Bounce
make
more.
Them feel it from the ceiling to the ground floor. How it sound, y'all. I know it's crazy, right? I know it's crazy, tight. Don't ever take me light. It's Cap Love, y'all.
Love,
and that's the stuff, y'all.
Stuff,
I beat game. I know exactly what you want, y'all. I make it jump, y'all.
Jump,
so put them off, y'all. Brown Sugar Brooklyn is about to jump.
You got to give it to me. You need to
give it to me.
You better
give it to me.
Give it to
me. Brown sugar, leave the ground shook up. Got the world sweating like fiends without cook up.
You know you really wanna
give it to me. You better
give it to me.
You got to
give it to me.
Give brown sugar. Lick your lips to it. Work your hips to it. A steady rocking like this. It's like 1, 2, 3 into the four. That brother Cavi Cavage there to let him know. This for my hustlers. This for my scramblers.
Scrambler.
This for my sexy mommy.
Sexy mommy.
For everybody. Everybody.
Bang it at any party.
And watch them rock to it. Bounce and pop to it. This here's hot music. Duke, I'm not losing. You need to stop fooling. I know the game very well, boy. I'm not stupid. Sharp and smart moving. Applying a heart to it. Team here to get the ghetto blocks moving. And after rocking them, the porch and backyard's moving. Keep it cracking, cause I love the way that y'all do it.
You got to
give
it to me.
You need to
give it to me.
You better
give it to me.
Give it to
me.
Brown sugar, leave the ground shook up. Observe the way how we make it sound. Good up like you got to
give it to me.
You need to
give it to me.
You got to
give it to me.
It's brown sugar. Lick your lips to it. Work your hips to it.
A steady rocking like this.
Damn, baby.
Damn, baby. Damn, baby. Damn, baby.
Most Def classic, a remix jam on it. I love it.
To all my people in the back, jam on that. Right. To all my people in the front, jam on that. To all my people on the side, jam on that. To jam on that. Say what? The sweet old beats, my speech radiates. I grab the mic, my voice resonates and penetrates. I make the B-boy emulate. A buck 50 still swinging like a heavyweight. Me in the lounge about to levitate. You don't believe? Let me demonstrate. The way we make cats disintegrate.
Well, hold up. You got to stop the tape. You got to prove you can rock the break. And yeah, my man gonna investigate the whole way that you operate, corroborate. But what's your name?
Most Def.
And where you from?
Brooklyn.
How you living?
Very well, very well.
Damn, you had to say it twice.
That's right.
So you nice.
Damn right. I rock the party all night, all night.
All right, all right.
So why you over here riffing with me? Trying to prove your position to me?
Some cats ain't equipped to MC.
But you can see I'm different, G. The universe magnificently. I rock the party efficiently. From the Brooklyn of a center to E. And I do it so lyrically that you got to give it to me like Rick James. I kick game and spit flames. Burning rappers all up out the frame. Freaking into this bang. From Brownsville on down to Brisbane. That's what I've been trying to explain. Got no time to play games. Keep it coming like the next train. Make the party people exclaim. Whenever they hear my name, they go Most Def. Oh, yes. My style's so fresh. Guaranteed to win any MC contest. Old school like that 84 fresh dress. You spend your assets to get my cassette. To that fresh, the Red Hook address. Make the club jealous, well like abscess. I'm shouting big love to Medina and the rest. About to drop it on your block with a high on the press. To the people in the front, jam on it. To all my people in the back, jam on it. To all my people on the side, jam on it. Jam on it.
On the radio.
Peace.
Peace.